Tevach, the Rambam points out in Hilchas Shabbos that there are four mitzvahs in connection with Shabbos. Two appear in the Chumash, and the other two are in Sefer Yeshayah. In the Chumash, we have Zohar and Shomar. Shomar means to be Hashem Shabbos, not to do Malacha. And Zohar means to recite Kiddush and to make Shabbos into a Shabbos Dika atmosphere. And the two mitzvahs that appear in the Novi Yeshayah are Kibud V'Yonik, the Chibarato and Karoso the Shabbos Oneg. What exactly is Kibud? What is it? Oneg? So the Vilna Gaon gives the following definition. He says that Kibud means all of the hachonas, all the preparations that we do in advance of Shabbos, and Oneg is the fact that we enjoy everything that we prepared on Shabbos. That you should set the table on Erev Shabbos is Kibud. And then the Oneg is that we come into the house and it's beautiful. We should take a shower before Shabbos. We should get dressed before Shabbos. We should vacuum the rug and do everything before Shabbos. We should light the candles before Shabbos. And the fact that we enjoy a beautiful home that's lit up on Shabbos, that's the Oneg. Even on Yontif, many women have the practice that when the husband comes home on Leil Yontif, after davening, then they bench licht at home. So Rav Soloveitchik said, many poskim hold like this. Rabbi Bitzala Petterburger has a whole chair. Bitzala Petterburger was from the three most outstanding students of Rabbi Saul Salanter. He was the one who excelled in Psak Halacha, Rabbi Yitzchak Blaser. So he has a whole tshuva. He has very strong tshuvas. There's a very a long tshuva explaining that even on Yontif, more correct practice is to light the candles on Erev Yontif. If you light the candles on Leil Yontif, you will be in fulfillment of the mitzvah of Oneg Yontif. But if you light the candles on Erev Yontif, in addition to the Oneg, you will also have fulfilled the mitzvah of Kibud, to do all the preparations in advance. It's so ingrained in our way of thinking that we recite the bracha over the lighting of the candles. In Yiddish, we call it bench and licht. Everybody loves it. Bench licht, you say the bracha. You don't say the bracha on the candle. You say a bracha to the Rebbeinu Shlomo in connection with the mitzvah of Hadlokas Haneris. In Hebrew, it's called Hadlokas Haneris, lighting of the candles. And Tosfos has a machlekes whether you say a bracha or not. Believe it or not. Tosfos doesn't believe in licht benching. Tosfos has one opinion. You don't say a bracha. Why? So Tosfos says, since when? You don't say a bracha when you take the shower, you don't say a bracha when you set the table, and when you vacuum the rug, and when you put up the tshalin. So Manash Tana, why should Hadlokas Haneris be different? Why should you say a bracha? And in fact, the Gemara has in Perek Bamem Adlikin the 24 prokim in Mishnah Shabbos. So one whole perek is dedicated to the dinim of Hadlokas Haneris. So the Gemara has an expression that Hadlokas Haneris on Erev Shabbos is chovo, an obligation. A strong obligation. What is the connotation of the term chovo? So the Gemara has that expression in Chulin, in Perek Olabos, in connection with Maim Netilas Yadayim. When you wash before having a meal, so Maim Rishonim is a mitzvah, when you wash. So we recite a bracha when you wash Maim Rishonim. And washing Maim Achreinim, the Gemara says, in the days of the Gemara, they used to have Melech Sodomus was available, and they didn't use forks and knives. They would, until very recently, all human beings ate with their hands. It's a recent thing in the last 200 years or so. They'd eat with forks and knives and so on. So if you're going to eat with salt and you're going to dip your fingers into the salt, you're going to rub your eyes. So the salt is going to get into your eyes and it may be unhealthy. So they made a takana that you have to wash Mayim Achreinim. So the Gemara says, Mayim Achreinim is more obligatory than Mayim Rishonim. Mayim Achreinim is chayva. So Tosfos quotes the halachas gedolos from the days of the Gaonim. The chova has the connotation of something that you have to do, but no bracha is recited. You only recite a bracha when you perform a mitzvah. So Tosfos has one opinion. That here the Gemara has the expression that hadlokas haner, chova means something you have to do, but no bracha is recited. And it makes sense, Tosfos says, because why should it be different from setting the table and taking the shower and vacuuming the rug and putting up all of the cholent and everything else? You don't say a bracha when you make the beds and so on Erev Shabbos. We don't follow that opinion. Tosfos quotes from the Tshuvas HaGaonim, that's the earliest source. Tosfos quotes Tshuvas HaGaonim that you do say a bracha. Other Rishonim quote that it's a passage in the Talmud Yerushalmi, but we don't have such a line in our editions of the Talmud Yerushalmi. So later history books suggest that the Rishonim sometimes refer to Yerushalmi means something that doesn't appear in the Bavli. So they would sometimes refer to Tshuvas HaGaonim as Yerushalmi. But it's not in the Talmud Yerushalmi. So the earliest source we have is the Tshuvas HaGaonim. The Gaonim are the ones who say that you say a bracha. So why is it? And by us, it's everybody knows. Of course you say a bracha. Why should you recite a bracha? So Tosfos thinks that it's Me'ikar Adin. And Tosfos says that the Hachana, there's one perek of the 24 prokem in Mishnah Shabbos is dedicated to the Hadlokas Haneris. So Hadlokas Haneris is a specific mitzvah mid the Rabbanim that they singled out. If the elves would come and vacuum the rug and set up the chalent and set the table and make the beds, you wouldn't have to do it over again. You wouldn't have to mess up the floor and vacuum the rug again. You wouldn't have to take the table apart and put it back together again. But if the lights happen to be on in the house, the Tosfos says there's a special takana midrabanan, unlike all the other preparations for Shabbos. That's why there's a whole perek by Mem Adlikin. If the lights are on, you have to turn the lights off and turn them on again, the Shem Shabbos. So Tosfos claims that it's different from all of the other mitzvahs of kibud. Kibud means all the hachanas, all the preparations that one is obligated to do in advance l'kavod Shabbos. So this is different. This was a special takanas chachamim that you should light the candles l'shem Shabbos. It says if the room is lit up already, you have to extinguish all the lights and put the lights on again l'shem Shabbos and then recite the bracha. Rav Soloveitchik used to say, and this is printed in the name of Yankee Kamenetsky, that if you have the electric bulbs on, people usually have the lights on in the house when they bench lift. So more correct is you should turn off all the electric lights and then turn them on again and then light the candles and say the bracha on everything. Because the Poskim said in Europe when they first started having in the middle 1800s when they started using light bulbs. So one of the major Poskim, the Beis Yitzchak of Yitzchak Shmelkish, was in Lemberg in Galicia. So he wrote a tshuva: is it permissible to recite the bracha l'hadlik ner shel Shabbos over an electric bulb? So he says yes. He says that it's acceptable for Shabbos and Yom Tov. He thinks for Chanukah it's not acceptable because the hadlokas hamenorah for Chanukah in Zechel HaMikdash, in the Beis HaMikdash, they had to have Shemen of Psila. They had to have oil and a wick, and the wick would absorb all of the oil and consume all of the oil. So when you use an electric bulb, you're not consuming any fuel. So he thought that for Chanukah it's not acceptable, but for Shabbos and Yom Tov it is. There are those who disagree with him about Chanukah. They think even Chanukah you can fulfill a mitzvah with an electric menorah. But for Shabbos and Yom Tov, most follow the psak of Yitzchok Shmelkish, Rav Moshe Feinstein thought that not proper. He thought you should not say a bracha on an electric bulb. But most of the classical poskim, since the 1850s, most of them assume that you can say the bracha on an electric light. So that's why more correct is that when the balabasta is about to bench lichna and Erev Shabbos, Erev Yom Tov, she should turn out all the lights in the room and turn the lights on and light the candles l'shem Shabbos and say the bracha on everything. In Shulchan Aruch there is a discussion: what if there are two families who are reading in the same room? So Rabbi Yosef Kara writes in the Shulchan Aruch that whoever lights first, kol ha-kodim zocha, she can say a bracha. And the second balabasta, she can't extinguish the flames. The first one said a bracha, l'hadlik ner shel Shabbos, can't she turn out the light? So the second one should light her leichter, she should light her candle, but she shouldn't say a bracha, because the room is already lit up. The Ramah disagrees, and that's the Ashkenazim usually follow the Ramah. The Ramah says, if one balabasta lights on one side of the room, the other one lights on the other side of the room, they didn't have a chandelier. So if you light your leichter on one side of one end of the table, the other's light on the other end of the table, and a separate leichter, so there's going to be what the Magen Avraham quotes from the Shalom, there will be tosefes or a besimcha, there will be much more illumination on the other end of the room. So we would even permit the second one to recite the bracha as well. But this only by medvar mamur, if you're lighting a couple of candles. So if you light candles the other side of the room, so then there's tosefes or. But once you have the big chandelier on, once you have all the big lights on, so what shaykh to say a bracha on hadlokas haneris? Let's say when you have 2 days yontif, one next to the other. So some people have the chandelier on a Shabbos clock so that there'll be 15 minutes or half an hour when the chandelier will be off, and then they have then they light the candles during that time that it's dark. But if you don't have like that, if the chandelier is on, it's very, very questionable. Is it proper to say a bracha? What are you lighting candles for? It's a malacha to light candles on Yom Tov. You're permitted to do a malacha on Yom Tov if you really need it. To light what they call in the Gemara, ner shel avtola, a candle that doesn't serve any purpose whatsoever, so we assume that it's not permissible. So once you have the chandelier is burning and the second night in Yom Tov, what are you lighting candles for? It gives a romantic atmosphere. Romantic enough without, it's a Yom Tov big enough without the candles, if the chandelier is lit. So it's very questionable whether it's right to to do hadlokas, to forget about saying a bracha. It's a question of whether you're permitted to light candles on the second night Yom Tov if the chandelier is burning, if the whole room is all lit up already. Not only is it not proper, not only is it highly questionable whether you say a bracha, it's questionable whether you should light candles at all. There is a Gemara in Erevin on Daf Mem Omed Beis, where the Gemara has a discussion on Pesach Shavuos Sukkos. We know that we recite Shehecha Yonu in Kiddush, because on Pesach Shavuos Sukkos there's a mitzvah of Simcha v'samachta b'chagecha, and all of the Shalosh Regalim are compared to each other. What's the story with Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur? So there's a Machlekes Hatanoim and Maseches Maikotin. We know that if one Chalila starts Shiva, started Shloshim before Yontav, so when Yontav comes, Yontav has a Chiyuv Simcha, so it cancels the Shiva, cancels the Shloshim. Whatever the person is in the middle of, it cancels. What about Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur? Is there a mitzvah of Simcha, Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur also cancels? So it's a Machlekes in the Mishnah. Whenever there's a Machlekes in Hilchas Avela, so we always go to Hokel. We're always Mekel. So we pass in the Hakel. But the question is it just in Hilchas Avelis that we're Mekel, or do we really pass in that that's the real din? Not just the Sofik Avelis. Do we really pass in that there's a Chiyab Simcha on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur? So the Samri Shanim interpret that this is the Gemara Sofik. Is one obligated to recite Shech Yonu on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur? It's a strange Gemara. What are they asking? What did they do last year? They were born yesterday. They don't remember. So the Gemara says no. We know that last year we said Shech Yonu. You can say Shech Yonu. The question is, are you obligated to say Shech Yonu? Imar says Shech Yonu over a new fruit, when you have a Pri Chodosh, is a Rishus. It's not obligatory. Shech Yonu is Bicha Zman, Shech Yonu La Zman Hazeh. The Gemara calls it the Bracha Zman. So the Bracha Zman is a Rishus. It's optional. You're excited over the fact that it's not that I'm so excited about the spinach. Let's say it's a vegetable that I'm allergic to. I can't stand, I don't enjoy this fruit or vegetable. But still, when I see, even if I'm not eating it, when I see they're selling it in the store, Bizman HaGemar, they used to recite the bracha when you walked in the street and you saw they're selling it in the store. So you realize that you live to see another watermelon season. You live to see another cherry season, another blackberry season, whatever. So you realize that Mahadalep Chai Nachayor, so Shech Yonu Man Hagoas Hazman. So the Gemara says, so that's a Rishus, that's optional. So the Gemara says, to recite Shech Yonu, Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur is certainly Rishus. It's Rosh Hashanah, and last time I had the experience of Rosh Hashanah was a year ago, so for sure it's a Rishus. They know that they said Shech Yonu last year on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. The Gemara has a suffix, is one obligated to say Shech Yonu? The Gemara comes to the conclusion that yes, you are obligated to say Shech Yonu. So the Gemara says, well, how in the world do you say Shech Yonu on Yom Kippur? There is no Kiddush over a cup of wine. So the Gemara says, no problem, Shech Yonu can be recited even not in context of wine. If you recite a Shech Yonu over a cup of wine at the conclusion of the Kiddush, like we do, Pesach Shavuos Sukkos Rosh Hashanah, then you enhance the chashivas of the bracha. It's considered a bracha ala kos. You have a toast to the Rebbeinu Shalom, a toast to Shech Yonu. But you can say Shech Yonu, the Gemara says, Oim Rafila Bashuk, even if you're walking in the street, you can say Shech Yonu. So on Yom Kippur, that's what we do. After Kol Nidre, we say, everybody says Shech Yonu together in Shul. So the Gemara says, well, maybe you can say Shech Yonu on Leil Yom Kippur over a cup of wine and not be Mekabel Yontif. And then drink the cup, or say Bor Piagofen, Shech Yonu, drink the wine, and then you'll be Mekabel Yontif. The Gemara says, you can't do that. Once you say Shech Yonu, it is Yom Kippur. You can't say Shech Yonu on Erev Yom Kippur. Once you say Shech Yonu, automatically it has to be Yom Kippur, otherwise you said a bracha levatola. Shech Yonu cannot be recited on Erev Yom Kippur. So based on that Gemara, that the Halachas Gedolos came up with a Chiddush, that once you bench licht, it's Kabbalah Tasef Shabbos Bal Korchai. So all the Rishonim ask, what's the Tushtel? What's the comparison? Shech Yonu is recited on Yom Kippur. So if you say Shech Yonu, you're implicitly accepting Yom Kippur. If you're not accepting Yom Kippur, you said a bracha levatala. But Hadlokas HaNeris is like vacuuming the rug. It's like taking a shower. It's like setting the table. It's like putting up the challah. That's a hachana that you do in advance of Shabbos. Why should you say that Hadlokas HaNeris is a kabbalas tasef Shabbos bal korcha? It's a very difficult opinion of the Halachas Gedolos. So the Halachas Gedolos was of the opinion, you have a family, a husband and a wife, and nine children. I have nine children. No one told them now, they're all married. They used to have nine children at home. So according to the Halachas Gedolos, when the balabas, the bench is licht, is tasef and Shabbos for all the members of the family. So in the Shulchan Aruch, they quote that the Balei HaTosfos used to be machmer for this, that once you're mekabel Shabbos, you can no longer daven mincha. So the fathers had didn't daven mincha yet, so they would go to shul and daven mincha, then they would send the children home to tell the mother it's time to bench licht. Because if the mother would bench licht first, then the father and the children couldn't daven mincha in shul, because it was a kabbalah tesef for Shabbos for all the members of the family. So that's the opinion of the halachas gedolos. So we're not machmer for the full halachas gedolos. That it's kabbalah tesef for Shabbos for the whole family, even though the hadlokas haneris is for the whole family. Everybody's yotze with the balabastas hadlokas. So that we're not choshish for. In the Shulchan Aruch, we only accept half of the halachas gedolos. The woman who benches licht, so it's al pidin, it's considered kabbalah tosef Shabbos bal korcha for the woman. Mikir adin, we really don't paskin like the Bahag at all. So if there's really a shas hatchak, the woman should have in mind that she doesn't want to be mekabel tosef Shabbos. But there are a lot of things that the halachas gedolos says that we don't hold like, but we have respect for his opinion. Just one example, the halachas gedolos says that a woman cannot be moitzi a man with mikra megillah. So Tosis doesn't agree. We paskin halacha, a woman is just as obligated as a man. A woman can read the megillah for a man, but out of respect for the opinion of the halachas gedolos, so we don't have a woman read the megillah. Here there is certain minyanim in New York where they have a woman read the megillah to demonstrate that the halachas gedolos is wrong, that we don't accept. So we don't do like that. Out of respect for the halachas gedolos, we don't want to violate his opinion. If you get stuck in a desert island and the only one to read the Megillah is a woman going to read for the man, so we paskin that she can. She could be mitzi the man. So here also, the other half of the halachas gedolos that hadlokas haneris is tosef Shabbos for all the members of the family, that we're not even choshish lechatchila. But that it's a kabbalas tosef Shabbos for the balabasta who lights the candles, that we do lechatchila, we're machmer for that, and we're only meiko if there's a real big shas hatchak. Let's say Erev Yom Kippur, the woman's going to bench licht, and she lives very far away from shul, she's going to have to drive to shul. She's going to walk, it's going to be a 45 minute walk to get to shul. So that's a big bit of a shas hatchak. Erev Yom Kippur, people doing all kinds of things. So she really may not have the 45 minutes to walk to shul. So in such a case, she could be madlik as haneris and have in mind, say that she's not mekabel tosefes Yom Kippur. Many of the women have a practice that they on Erev Yontif, when they light the candles, they say Shachyono b'shas hadlokas haneris. Rabbi Akiva Eger quotes from Rabbi Yankif Emden that it's not really correct. The husbands can also say Shachyono in shul, like on Leil Yom Kippur. The reason why we don't do it on Yomim Tovim is because when you recite the Shachyono over a cup of wine, so you enhance the chashivas of the bracha. So why should the women cheat themselves? Why should they cheapen their Shachyono? They say Shachyanu when they bench lift. Let him be yotze with the Shachyanu of a Kiddush. The bracha will be enhanced. So Rabbi Yankif Emden says, don't fight with your wife. If your wife has a minik from her mother, don't argue with your wife. But he says, Rabbi Kivega quotes from Rabbi Yankif Emden, more correct is that I didn't fight with my wife. I just told her that she should rely on me. Because you have to know, the second day is Pesach, you don't say Shachyanu. The second day is Sukkot, you do say Shachyanu. And the Atzeres is regular from the Atzmon. And the second day, Yontav, you do say Shachyanu. Yontav Sheni, you do say Shachyanu. So it's complicated. So the women have to know what it says in Shulchan Aruch. I told her, just rely on me. So have a good wife. She listens to me. But let's say, on Yom Kippur, on Leil Yom Kippur, nobody's going to say Shachyanu over a cup of wine. So the woman can say Shachyanu when she benches licht. But if she's going to make a tonight that she wants to drive to shul, then she can't say Shachyanu when she benches licht. That's the Gemara. That's the Gemara in Erev and on Daf Mem and Shachyanu could only be recited on Yom Kippur. You can't say Shachyanu on Erev Yontif. And that's where the Bahag took his, he extended, he went a giant step past what he said. He said that Hadlokas Haneris is also Kabbalas Tosef Shabbos Bal Korcha. So that we really don't follow. Then she should leave out the Shachyanu. If the woman wants to be Madlik Neris and make a Tanai not to be Mekabel Shabbos, not to be Mekabel Yontif, so she shouldn't say the Shachyanu. Yeah. Shachyanu, that's in the Gemara, can only be recited on Yontif itself. So this is the explanation that Tosis says, that Hadlokas Haneris is a special takanim in the Rabban, unlike all other hachonis that you do on Erev Shabbos. You set the table and you vacuum the rug and you put up the cholent and so on. Hadlokas Haneris is special takanim. You have to extinguish the lights and turn them on again. Hashem Shabbos, that's why you say a bracha, because this one is a mitzvah, unlike all the other acts of kibbutz. In the history books, they suggest differently from Tosfos. The historians suggest that maybe the bracha was instituted by the Gaonim because they were fighting the Karoim. You look in the Rambam, in Hilchos Shabbos, Professor Chaim Soloveitchik published a very fascinating essay about this topic. Usually the Rambam is so organized, the Rambam is so mesudadik. You look in Hilchos Shabbos, everything is cockeyed. He puts Hadlokas HaNeris, the most important things of Hilchos Shabbos are the Malachas. So the Rambam puts Hadlokas HaNeris in the beginning. The Rambam never goes in order of, the Shulchan Aruch goes in the order of how you do things. The Rambam goes in a logical order. He should have given Hilchos Shabbos first. So you see the way the Rambam presents it, he's also fighting against the Karoyim. The Karoyim misinterpreted, mistranslated the Pasuk, that the Lo Sivaresh B'chomash V'Sechem V'Yayimah Shabbos, we interpret the Pasuk, you're not allowed to strike a match, you're not allowed to throw something into the fire, you're not allowed to cause something to catch flame on Shabbos, and the Karaites interpreted, you're not allowed to have any lights burning in your house. So that's why, but that's in the days of the Goyim, the way you could tell whether a family was religious or not. You would walk in the streets, if it would be lit up in his house, you see that he followed, he's Orthodox, he followed the Chachamim, and if it was dark in his house, you know that he's a Karoi. When I was a little boy growing up, it was Fakir, Rav Soloveitchik pointed out. The Jews were poor, so they couldn't afford, the religious Jews couldn't afford to leave the lights on the whole Shabbos. So if you pass by someone's house and you see the whole house is lit up, obviously he's not a religious Jew, because he's not going to leave the lights on the whole Shabbos. No one had a Shabbos clock. And if it was dark in his house, that's a simon that he was an Orthodox Jew. So in the days of the Karaites, in the days of the Goyim, it was Fakir. So the Chachamim, that's what the history books suggest. The rabbis, the Goyim encouraged everyone they should bench licht and they should light the candles and say a bracha to emphasize the fact that not only is it permissible, it's a mitzvah to light the candles. But it's not really different from all the other. Not really, it's the same really al pidin, it's the same as vacuuming the rug and setting the table. That's how they suggest in the history books. But Tosfos suggested that Medina de Gemara is different. That Hadlokas HaNeris has a whole chapter, a whole perek, the second perek, by Memadlikin, out of the 24 prokem and Shabbos, whole perek dedicated to it. So this led Tosfos to believe that Medina de Gemara had Hadlokas HaNeris is special, takana, different from all the other hachanas of Erev Shabbos, even leaving out the Karaites. And you say a bracha because even if the lights are lit, you would have to extinguish all the lights and turn them on again, l'shem Shabbos. So since that's a specific Maisa Mitzvah, that we should require a bracha. That's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. They quote this Tosfos. The Gemara says you cannot light too early in the day. It doesn't appear that it's L'Shem Shabbos. And when is the earliest? So we assume not before Plag HaMincha. When exactly is Plag HaMincha? So Plag HaMincha is an hour and a quarter. Mincha Ktan is 2.5 hours before the end of the day. And Plag HaMincha is a half of that. A half of 2.5 hours is an hour and a quarter. So an hour and a quarter before the end of the day. What do you mean the end of the day? So most people today follow the Vilna Gaon that when you're figuring out Zmanim, different Zmanim of the day, you go from sunrise to sunset, an hour and a quarter before sunset. Others follow the Rabbi Natam. Many others follow the Rabbi Natam. That whenever you're dividing hours of the day, like Sov Zman Kriyashma, Sov Zman Tefillah, and so on, so you go from Alos HaShachar till Tzeis HaKochavim. And many have an exaggerated Zman for Tzeis HaKochavim. So many times, according to that opinion, the Plag HaMincha will be after the Shkia. Plag HaMincha will be after the Shkia. So we don't follow that opinion. We assume that right after Shkia, right after the sun sets, it's already the beginning of Bein HaShemashes. And we assume that Plag HaMincha is an hour and a quarter before the sunset. It's not always an hour and a quarter in the sense of 75 minutes. It depends the length of the day. Sometimes it'll be less than 75 minutes. Sometimes it'll be more than 75 minutes. You have to divide from sunrise to sunset into 12 units. That's called Shos Manias. So the earliest you can light is Plag HaMincha. If you have to leave the house and you have to light before Plag HaMincha, so you light the candles and you don't say a bracha. Usually in America, the minhag is that people light candles 18 minutes before the Shkia, and the number 18, the Gematria, where does it come from? Chai? So, Rabbi Moshe Feinstein used to say when they used to have Malava Malkus for the Paris Yerushalayim, people used to pledge to give Chai. He said it's a bigger mitzvah to give Mavis more money. So what's the Gematria? What's 18? So the 18 is based on the opinion of the Sefer Yireim. Rabbi Elazar Mimitzvah was a Talmud of the Rabbeinu Tam. He's one of the Baalei HaTosfos. Tosfos quotes him every so often. Rabbi Elazar Mimitzvah writes in Sefer Yireim that what we call Shkia sunset is Laila. That's Tzeis HaKechavim. And Ben Hashmasha says the last 18 minutes in the day before the sun sets. So the last 18 minutes, no one's allowed to do any malacha. It's Ben Hashmasha. Wow. Nobody holds like that. So that's where the minute came from, that the women bench licht before 18 minutes means everyone should abstain from malacha in the last 18 minutes of the day. That's the Ben Hashmashas. So that's apparently where the minute came from. Soloveitchik said that where he came from in Europe, the practice used to be that all year long they would light the candles 30 minutes before the sunset. At an Erev Yom Kippur, there would be Madlik the Neres 60 minutes before, an hour before. 30 minutes is the Shir of Samach. Sometimes you have a din, Samach al-Mincha Gedol, Samach al-Mincha Ktana. The Samach means a half an hour before. So the Gemara in Beitz on Daf Lamed seems to imply that there is a specific amount of time that is supposed to be Mosif Mechol al-Kodesh. Tosef HaShabbos is not that we leave it up to each and every individual person how much he wants to add. You want to add a half a minute, you want to add 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 20 minutes. The Gemara seems to say that there's an amount of time that everybody has to add. If you want to add more than that, gives them to hate. But Tosef says they don't know how much that time is. So there, then now we have printed the Rabbeinu Peretz. Is one of the Baalei HaTosfos. Rabbeinu Peretz says he thinks that it's 30 minutes. So that was a widespread minig in Europe, Rav Soloveitchik said, that there would be Mekabel Shabbos and Yontav 30 minutes before sunset. And Yom Kippur, he said, they used to ben shlicht 60 minutes before. He said he remembered as a child, he asked, why is Yom Kippur different? Why did they light 60 minutes before? So the official explanation was 30 minutes Tosefes for Malacha and 30 minutes Tosefes for the Inuim. And he said he never understood what that means. What do you mean? It's one Kedusha Sayyim that has an Isa Malacha and has the Inuim that you have to fast and not wear the shoes. But he said that was the minik, 60 minutes before. Maybe because the Rambam's opinion is that the mitzvah of Tosefes only applies to Yom Kippur. The Rambam denies that there is a din of Tosefes on Shabbos and Yontif. There is no obligation. In Shulchan Aruch, they don't quote that Rambam. They quote the Tosefes that there is an obligation to be Mosif Mechol al HaKodesh on Shabbos and Yontif. But the Rambam holds only Yom Kippur. So maybe that was the reason why the minik was in Europe in certain communities that they would double the amount of time for the Tosefes Yom Kippur as opposed to Shabbos and Yontif. Our practices, like Taisa said, one does recite the bracha in connection with Hadlokas HaNeres on the Shulchan Aruch. Rabbi Yosef Kara writes, and that's what the Sfardim follow, that the bracha should always be recited Oivel HaSiyosam. Whenever you're about to perform a mitzvah, you say bracha immediately before. You don't say bracha 2 minutes before, that's Koidim. Oivel means immediately before, as opposed to Oivel the Oivel. Too far in advance is no good. But the Pashtus is, the Balabasta has a match, and she's allowed to light about to light the candle, so she should say the Brocha Eivel HaSiyos. The Ramah, usually Ashkenazim follow the Ramah, so the Ramah writes, we don't have that minig, we have a Chumrah, that we are concerned that maybe the reciting of the Brocha is a Kabbalah Tosefes Shabbos. Maybe when you say the Brocha, you're going to say La'adlik Ne'ashal Shabbos, so then you're Mekabel Shabbos, then you're not allowed to light the candles. So the Ashkenazim have a minig that first they light all the candles, and then they say the bracha afterwards. And in order that it should, but it's not Oivel HaSiyosam. So what's the Oivel HaSiyosam? So the women have a minig, they close their eyes, and they don't get any hanoah from the candles, and then they say the bracha, and then they open their eyes. So in a certain sense, it's a little bit Oivel HaSiyosam. Very strange minig. Rabbi Kivega there has in his commentaries on the bottom of the page in the Shulchan Aruch, printed on the bottom of the page. He doesn't understand this. What kind of a chumrah is that? When you say the bracha, you do the hadlokas. So then the halachas gedolah said the hadlokas haneris is kabbalas Tosefes Shabbos bal korcha. There's some women who light 10 candles. Some women who light for all the children, all the grandchildren, whatever. So the minute they light the first candle, it's already Tosefes Shabbos, not Tosefes Shabbos till they light all the candles. So what do you mean the bracha is Tosefes Shabbos? The bracha with the hadlaka when everything is all finished. So then it's Tosefes Shabbos. Rabbi Kivega doesn't understand. But that's the minig by the Ashkenazim. Chama Avadya writes an interesting thing in one of his many tshuvas. He wrote so many tshuvas. So he writes in one of the tshuvas that Rabbi Yisrael Zalman had passed away, and he heard from one of his children that when Rabbi Yisrael Zalman moved from Europe to Eretz Yisrael, so he told his wife that now that we live in Eretz Yisrael, Rabbi Yosef Kar is the Mora D'Asra in Eretz Yisrael, because Rabbi Yosef Kar lived in Tzvat in the 1500s, didn't live in the 1900s. So Rabbi Yisrael Zalman told his wife, now that we live in Eretz Yisrael, she should follow Rabbi Yosef Karo and say the bracha over Asiyos. What do you mean? He always followed. When he moved to Eretz Yisrael, he stopped following the Ramos. He followed all the Mechabes. I don't think so. He never liked this. He probably never liked the Ramos. Like Rabbi Kivega says, he doesn't understand it. So when he moved to Eretz Yisrael, so he said they should follow the Mechaber on this issue. The Rebbe Yehuda, in addition to all of his tshuvas, published his drushes, beautiful drushes. So in his Shabbos Shuvah drusha, many rabbanim give two drushes. They give, I live near Broyes, I live down the block from Broyes. So the rabbi gives a drusha for an hour in the morning about specific averis that the balabatim do. They don't do mitzvahs properly, they do averis. He gives musa for an hour, and then in the afternoon he gives a pilpul. So the Nadi Behuda had the same practice. He gave a drusha, a pilpul, a drusha, and then he gave musa. So in one of his drushas, where he gave the musa for Shabbos Shuvah, so he's tumbling about the bagels, that the balabatim are saying mezainis on the bagels, and they're not washing, and they're not benching, and he's threatening to resign over the issue of the bagels. Because I told you last year that it's hamoitzi, and you don't listen to me. And obviously I can't explain myself, so if I'm not a good rabbi, he has to resign. He's threatening to resign over the bagels issue. That is supposed to be hamoitzi. Then in the same drasha, when he threatens to resign over the bagels, he complains that when the people washed the Tilus Yadayim also, they're, strictly speaking, Medina de Gemara, when you wash the Tilus Yadayim, say the bracha before you wash your hands. So the Shulchan Aruch quotes the practice of the Balei HaTosfos, that sometimes your hands are dirty, and you can't say a bracha, so we have a practice, we always say the bracha on the Tilus Yadayim after you wash your hands, before you dry your hands. So since you didn't complete the Tilus Yadayim until after you dry your hands, Gemara says that if a person eats bread when his hands are still wet, that he didn't dry his hands, so that's improper. So you didn't really finish the Netilas Yadayim till after you do the Niguv, till after you dry your hands. So it's a little bit over Lasiyos. The Mishnah Berurah quotes that whoever wants to, can say, if you know your hands are clean and you want to follow the real din, so you can follow the din. This is a justification of the minig of the Balei HaTosfos that is not so bad if you say the bracha lachar asiyosim afterward. But many people have that practice. Ashkenazim have that practice. Say the bracha after you wash until Siddam. So the Nadi Behuda complains in the same drasha with the bagels. He has a couple of pages complaining about different things that the Balabatim did. So he complains, he says the practice is like this. People wash until Siddam and say, Sui Dechen Kodesh Abochas Hashem Shira Malas. They say all kinds of psukim and prokim and tilim, and they're talking, carrying on conversations. Till they say Anatil Siddam. Anatil Siddam, they don't say Bu. They left it to say Amoitzi. So he says, everything is backwards. Everything is upside down. In between the Tilus Yadayim and Hamoitzi, you shouldn't carry on a whole conversation. You should be Masiach Das. So it's a chumrah not to say anything. But strictly speaking, someone asks you a question, you can give a manos alab against it. Yes, no, I don't know. To give it. Strictly speaking, it isn't a nisa hefsik. The real din of hefsik is when you say a bracha before the mitzvah, and you didn't do the mitzvah yet, so if you're going to talk in between the bracha and the mitzvah, so there's a hefsik, so the bracha doesn't relate to the mitzvah anymore, so you have to repeat the bracha. So what if you have a situation where you say the bracha after doing the mitzvah? You do all the tilus yadayim, you do the tilus yadayim, you say the bracha afterwards. So if you're going to talk in between the tilus yadayim and the bracha doesn't relate to the tilus yadayim. So the bracha is a bracha levatol, the mitzvah you will yotzei. So if you wash until it's your dime and you talk, don't say the bracha. You will yotze the mitzvah. The bracha won't relate. So he's talking about until it's your dime. But the same is true regarding hadlokas haneris. If the women, most of the Ashkenazi women have this practice, that on Hanerev Shabbos, they recite the bracha after the hadlokah, after they light the candles. So many of the women will light the candles, they'll go to the kitchen, they'll carry on a conversation, and say all kinds of tefillahs, until they finally say the bracha, l'hadlik nashol Shabbos. So that's the real ikar din of hefsek, is in between the hadlokas haneris, the mitzvah, and the bracha. If you lit the candles and you didn't, and you talked before you say the bracha, so you fulfilled the mitzvah, don't say the bracha. The bracha will be a bracha levatola and won't be mitzvah to the hadlokah anymore. That's the Nadi Behuda se'ora. A lot of the women don't realize that. That's the ikar din of hefsek. Reb Shlomo Zalman published a tshuva many years ago. He also accepts what the Beis Yitzchak, Rabbi Yitzchak Shmelkish, wrote, that one can fulfill the mitzvah of hadlokas haneris over an electric bulb also, but he thinks on fluorescent, on neon lights, not. You have to have dafke filament that glows. if you have a metal yes. that you heat it until it glows, so the Rambam says that one is in violation of Havara on Shabbos, so that's called an Eisha. Since it's an Eisha, that's considered the considered the Hadlik Ner Shel Shabbos. In the Shulchan Aruch, the Rama quotes a practice that some of the women had, that if the woman had to go to mikveh on Friday night, she wouldn't be able to, she's not going to be home, she's going to be by the mikveh. The mikveh is next to the shul in many communities. So they used to have the practice, they would bench licht in the lobby of the shul. So the Rama says they're not too happy about that, because the hadlokas on there are supposed to really be bibesim. So the Magen Avraham writes that we don't have this meaning anymore. It's really not correct. This is a real din. Hadlokas aneres has to be bebeso. And the Mishnah Berurah has a long arichas based on a whole sugya in Erevin, around Dafayin Ches, where the Gemara talks about where is beso. If a person has, there are people today, I know a family, they have two different homes in Teaneck, one home where the parents sleep, and one home where the children sleep. Two blocks away, and the children always come to the parents' home to eat all the meals. So the children have two different homes. They have one home where they eat and one home where they sleep. So the Gemara has a discussion which one is called Beso. What's a nafkamina? So the Gemara has one nafkamina. If you live in a city, so the Tchum Shabbos, all the people who live in the same city are going to have the same Tchum Shabbos, whatever part of the city you have. The whole city is considered Kedal Ramas, and then you have Alpai Mama outside of the city. But if you live in a location where it doesn't have the status of a city, doesn't have all the requirements of a city, so then it's a difference. Do you live, is this beso, is this beso? You have alpai mama, you draw a circle, alpai mama around your home. So is this one beso, that one is beso. That's one difference. Then the Gemara has another difference. Let's say the bayis, the two batim are part of a chotzer. So you have to participate in the Erev Chatzeres. So today, nobody participates in the Erev Chatzeres. One person buys a box of matzahs, or two boxes of matzahs, and you give it to someone else to pick up, to be kind, they pick it up at Tefach, and it's kind of shutzvus for all the Shomer Shabbos who live there now, going to move until next Pesach, and then shine, that's the Erev Chatzeres. And then they rent from the Goyim, and they rent from the Supers, representing the Goyim, that's how they make an Erev Chatzeres. But in the days of the Gemara, the Mishnah says that's acceptable. You can do that too. We always do like that. But in the days of the Tanaim, they didn't always do like that. Everyone would give a matzah or a challah for the Eruv Chatzeres. So if I sleep in one apartment and I eat in the other apartment, which one is called Beis? Which chotzer do I have to participate in the Eruv Chatzeres? Which chotzer do I not have to participate? Only one of them is called Beis. So the Gemara has klolim. Which one is called Beis? So the Gemara says, if one is clearly more comfortable than the other, so the one that's more comfortable is called Beis. So the Gemara gives an example that the Yeshiva Brachma used to sleep in the dorm, and he used to eat by the Balabatim. He used to eat the Flegnes and Teg by different Balabatim. So the Balabatim didn't always treat them nicely. They would give their children big portions of chicken, and they would give the Yeshiva Brachma smaller portions. In Europe, it was Yadua. He used to treat them like stiefkinder, like stepchildren. They didn't treat them nicely. So the Bochum enjoyed it better when they slept in the dormitory. They didn't really enjoy it so much when they ate by the Balabatim. So the Gemara says if they enjoy one more than the other, so the one that they enjoy better is called Beis. Or let's say, I live in my home. And then once in a while, Kerata this Shabbos, I ate in the yeshiva, in the cafeteria. Because we had the Rebbe was there, Chassidus Rebbe was there, so we had a Gansa Tish on Friday nights. So the whole davening and the whole time. So I ate in the yeshiva. So, but we went home to sleep. We slept in our own home. We didn't sleep in the dormitory. I live a 15-minute walk, 10-minute walk from the yeshiva. So my wife bench licht at home, because that's based. So one is permanent and one is only temporary. The home is kavua. The place where we sleep is where we always sleep and we always eat there. This Friday night, we ate in the cafeteria at Bimikre. So since one is more kavur than the other one, so the home where we always eat and sleep is beso, so we have to be madlik bebeso, not in the yeshiva. Or let's say one is clearly more private than the other. Let's say you have all the boys in the yeshiva, so they sleep in a dormitory room. So how many people share one room? Two people, three people, six people. How many people do you have in one room in a dormitory? In the cafeteria, you have 250 people eating together in the cafeteria. So that's much more public. In the room that's private, that's beso. Let's say people are away in a hotel for Shabbos or Yom Tov. So the private apartment, the private suite, is beso as opposed to the the room, the dining room where everybody's going to eat. So that's a public place. So more correct is everyone should light in their bedroom, which is the private room. Of course, in the hotel, they don't allow you to light candles. It's a chashash of a sreifa, so you have to say the bracha over the electric bulbs. And those who follow Rav Moshe Feinstein, they don't say bracha on the electric bulbs, so they'll light the bulbs without a bracha. They'll have in mind the mechavim, the mehara, the bracha. But it's not right that everybody lights downstairs. That's not based on, that's a public place. Some it does make sense. You have 150 women, bench licht, all on one table. Everybody, well, where is it giving illumination? The big chandeliers, the big lights are burning, and the candles add absolutely no illumination whatsoever. So maybe it adds a little, does it add a yontif, a Shabbos digger flavor to have all the candles outside of the room? So maybe it does, I don't think so, maybe it does. But 150 women, bench licht over there. So the first woman at bench licht, they're ready. It's a very problematic practice that they have. There is a commentary, a famous commentary on the bottom of the tour. That's called the Drisha Prisha by Rabbi Shua Falk. So on the introduction, must have been written in the 1600s, early 1600s. So on the introduction to the commentary, which is written by the author's son, he writes a little bit about his father, and then he writes about his mother. That his mother was a big tzaddik, his mother was very learned, and his mother had chidushim in halacha. So one of his mother's chidushim was that the Ashkenazim have the minhag that they recite the bracha after hadlakas haneris, because they're concerned that maybe the reciting of the bracha itself is the Kabbalah Tosefes Shabbos, and after Mikabel Shabbos, you're not allowed to light the candle, so that's only an issue on Erev Shabbos. But on Erev Yontif, even if the reciting of the bracha is a Kabbalah Yontif, but on Yontif, you're allowed to light candles. If you need it, you're allowed to light the candles. So that was the mother's chiddush. So the Magen Avraham quotes this from the Hagdamah of the Prisha about his mother, Mrs. Prisha, and he makes a negative comment. He says, "Ain chacham alisha ele bepalach." The women should stick to knitting and stitching. The women shouldn't paskin any shabbos. So the later paskin say that he's wrong. The later paskin say that Mrs. Prisha was right, and many women have that practice that that they recite the bracha, even though Ashkenazi women recite the bracha on Shabbos after lighting the candles. But on Yom Tov, they say the bracha before. Of course, let's say my wife lit the candles on Friday afternoon, and we were going to stay a long time in the yeshiva because this Chassidus Rebbe was going to have a ganze tish. It was going to go till late at night. So you can't just light candles if you're afraid the candles may go out before you come home, so you're not going to get any pleasure from the Neiris on Shabbos. The whole purpose of lighting candles is in order to use the Ora Neir. So you have to make sure that you turn on the electric lights, and that light's going to be on. Make sure you have longer candles, so you'll be able to get Hanor from the candles when you come home at night. There is a machlekes in Shulchan Aruch. Can you fulfill the mitzvah of Hadlokas Haneris Shalom b'mokam achila? The main purpose of Hadlokas Haneris on Erev Shabbos and Erev Yontif is that it should be lit up in the room where you're eating the food, so you'll enjoy the food better. People, the Gemara says that blind people don't enjoy eating the food as much as people who can see, because when you see the food, your mouth starts to water, and they're based on the pasuk in Mishlei, so it's more pleasant. So that's why the Gemara says you should always eat in the daytime, or if you eat at nighttime, make sure that you have a lot of lights on, so you'll enjoy the food. So the Iker Hadlokah is b'makom achila. Yeah, but once in a while, we're going to eat in yeshiva, so my wife is going to be matvah home. It's not going to be mokam achila. So that's a machlekes. So we paskin the ikra din. You can't do the hadlokas shaloi be mokam achila. Erev Yom Kippur, it's a whole different story. Erev Yom Kippur, we don't eat any food on Leil Yom Kippur. So the chachamim never made a takon of hadlokas aneris Erev Yom Kippur. The Mishnah in Psochim mentions that there were two minhagim. Some had the minig bedavke yes to light candles, some had the minig bedavke not to light candles. Rabbi Yosef Karo writes in the Shulchan Aruch that the Sfardim don't recite a brach on chatzi halal on Mishchoedish because it's only a minig. You can't say mitzivanu. And the Sfardim don't recite a brach on Erev Yom Kippur either because the lighting of the candles is only a minig. Ashkenazim who recite a brach on chatzi halal on Mishchoedish, we feel that you can't say a brach on a minig, so Ashkenazim do recite the brach on Erev Yom Kippur. when Yom Kippur's Chali is B'Shabbos, so then even the Mechaber says you're Mechuyev to be Badlach Neres because it's Erev Shabbos, even though you're not going to eat on Leil Yom Kippur's Chali is B'Shabbos, but still, Takanas Chachamim is still in place. But on the regular Yom Kippur, so the Gemara explains that it really depends on the Minhag HaMakom, and the Minhag has nothing to do with Hadlokas HaNeiris of Shabbos and Yom Tov. It's a totally different Minhag. On Yom Kippur, one of the prohibitions is that marital relations are prohibited. So some had the Minhag, they want to have it dark in the house, so they shouldn't see how good looking their wives are, so they shouldn't have a desire to violate the prohibition of Tashmish Amitah. And others had the minig, bedavka fakeret, and married people should have a candle lit in the bedroom, so it's also the shamish mitos of the oran there, so this will deter him, this will prevent him from violating the din of the inuyim. So the Gemara says that both minhagim are based on the same inyan, to be mechazik, the prohibition of the inuyim on Yom Kippur, the tashmish amita, and because it's only a minig, so that's why it's a machlokes where the one recites a bracha. So really, the hadlok on Erev Yom Kippur is totally unrelated to the hadlok on Shabbos and Yom. Shabbos and Yom Tov is a kibud, oneg, the makam achila, it's a whole different story. And Erev Yom Kippur is totally unrelated. We'll speak a little bit about Kiddush and Abdullah. We said there were four, the Rambam writes, there are four mitzvahs in connection with Shabbos, two that appear in Chumash and two that appear in Yeshayah. So the two chumash are zocha v'shama. So shama means is the person is Hashem Shabbos, not to violate malachas. What does zochar mean? So the Gemara says that the word zochor usually means to remember, and sometimes it means to mention lahazikir. We would have said lahazikir. So the Gemara translates zochar siyam Shabbos lekatshoi means to speak, to mention the kedusha sayoyim of Shabbos. The same is true by parsha zochar. It says zochar sishasa lecha molik. So the Gemara quotes that Brisa from the Mechilta, Yochel Belev. What does it mean? You should remember the story of Amalek. No, the end of the parsha is Lo Sishkach. You shouldn't forget. So obviously the word Zachar means Bepeh. You should mention it. You should read Parsha Zachar. So there the word Zachar means to mention, to recite Parsha Zachar. And the same thing, how do you know there's an obligation of Mikra Megillah? When you look in the Megillah, so it says you should make Mishta b'simcha, mishlach manasish, l'rei matanas l'avyarim. Never says a word about Mikra Megillah. So where did we get this idea from? You have to read the Megillah. The Gemara says, no. It says in the Megillah, hayamim ha'ela nizkarim v'na'asim. So the word nizkarim means that the days are spoken of. How do you speak about the story of Purim? You read the Megillah. So the word nizkarim doesn't mean the days are remembered, but rather the days are mentioned, spoken of. So here also, zochar, siyam shabbos l'katshoi, means he should declare that the day has Kedusha. One would have thought that this is perhaps a drush of the Torah Shebaal Peh. So the Rambam writes in the Sefer HaMitzvahs, no, this is Pshuto Shal Mikra. The Rambam wrote his Sefer HaMitzvahs, and there were, what do you mean, 613 mitzvahs? There are millions of mitzvahs. How did it all of a sudden shrink to become every inch of the way, every step of the way, there's another mitzvah? So the Rambam says, 613 mitzvahs are Torah Shebichsav. And every generation, the Chachamim add on, not talking about the Rabbanim, talking about Dinim Deraisa, that they darshan through the Yud Gimel Midrash HaTorah that Resh has been. So the Rambam writes, in every generation they can darshan, they can add on more Dinim. So every time they add on another Din, you have to throw out another Din. You have to throw out a previous Din. You can only have 613 mitzvahs. So he says, no, that's 613 lefi pshuto shel mikra. So the Rambam understands that this Zohar Siyam Shabbos Lakatsha is Pshuto Shal Mikra. This is Mamish Torah Shebichsav. This is not an additional level of interpretation. And the Rambam claims that that's what it means in the Gemara. The Gemara has an expression in Brachas. Noshim Chayav is Bikidush Hayom Dvar Torah. What does it mean, Dvar Torah mean? So the Rambam says, I don't know how he knows that, he says the word Dvar Torah doesn't only mean derais, it means that it's Dvar Torah, means that it's Pshuto Shal Mikra, that the women are just as obligated as the men in Kiddush. Kiddush should have really been a mitzvah saseh as my grandma, so the women should have been exempt. So the Gemara says, we have a concept of a hekesh. If you have two dinim that appear in the same pasuk, we assume that there's a connection between the two dinim. If you have two dinim that appear in adjacent psukim, one next to the other, that's called smuchim. And the Gemara says that generally we only darshan smuchim and chumish dvar in Mishnah Torah. But in the other four Chumashim, we usually do not darshan smuchim. The Gemara gives two reasons why. You only darshan hekesh. Hekesh means two dinim in the same pasuk. So what if you have two dinim and two different psukim, but we have a tradition that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu proclaimed the Aseres HaDibros at Har Sinai, he said both simultaneously. Zoche v'shame b'dibor echad nemru, mashein ha'per yichol l'adab v'lo hoizin yichol l'dishma. A normal human being cannot say two things at the same time. And normally you can't hear two different things at the same time. So here HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a miracle that he proclaimed Zoche v'shame simultaneously. What did he need that for? Why did he have to proclaim Zoche v'shame b'vasachas? So the Gemara says, because he wanted to make it like a hekesh. If you would have two dinim in two halves of the same pasuk, there would be a connection between the two. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu proclaims, these are two different psukim in two different places. Zohar is in in Yisro, and Shomer is in Vashana, two different places. So they have a din like a hekesh, because the Gemara has a tradition that at Maim HaSeh HaKadosh Baruch Hu proclaim both simultaneously. So just like the women are obligated to observe Shamar, Shamar is a loisase. That means not permitted to do malachas. The women are obligated to observe all the lavim, all the yisurim, even if there's man groma. So they're obligated to recite Kiddush also. Kol sheyesh nem b'shamar, yesh nem b'zochar, because the two are connected. Every so often it happens that the husband is away out of town on business or whatever. And the mother is home with the children, so the mother feels uncomfortable. Traditionally in Europe, the women didn't want to say Kiddush and Abdullah because it meant that she's going to be an almana. Today, the women feel they want equal rights, so they want to alternate. Every other week, the husband says Kiddush and Abdullah, every week the wife says Kiddush and Abdullah. But in Europe, traditionally, no woman wanted to say Kiddush and Abdullah. It means that she's living all by herself. So a lot of women, when the husband is away, out of town, so they'll ask the child, they'll ask the boy to say Kiddush. If the child is not yet bar mitzvah, the mother is obligated min haTorah to say Kiddush. And the child is only chinuch, he's only chayv mid rabban. So the child cannot be moitzi the mother. Mother has to say the Kiddush. Maybe it's a nice idea to have the child say Kiddush also if the father's not home. But the mother has to say her own Kiddush. The Gemara sounds like it says that both Kiddush and Havdalah, there's a strange Gemara in the beginning of Nazir. A Nazir is one who accepts upon himself to be a Nazir, is forbidden to take a haircut, forbidden to be Metamil Mason, forbidden to drink wine or to eat grapes. So the Gemara has a discussion, is the Nazir permitted to drink wine of Kiddush and Havdalah? So the simple, superficial reading of the Gemara sounds like he is permitted to. That he had no right to accept Naziris upon himself to the extent of making it impossible for him to drink the Yain Kiddush v'Havdalah. That's what it sounds like from the Gemara. So if you say it like that, the Gemara is assuming that both Kiddush and Havdalah are min haTorah, and not only reciting Kiddush and Havdalah, drinking the wine also. Kiddush al Yain is there, right? So Taisus says it can't be. Taisus says they don't believe that either is correct. They think Havdalah is only midirabbanan. That's a big machlekes. Whether Havdalah is the Raisa the Rabbanan. The Rama's opinion is Kiddush and Havdalah are both min haTorah. And Taisus thinks that Alayayin is also only midirabbanan. So in Shulchan Aruch we split the psak. We pass in Kiddush and Havdalah both min haTorah, and the Alayayin we assume is only midirabbanan. Min haTorah, the Shulchan Aruch says you could be yotze the Kiddush and Havdalah b'tefillah when you dav Ma'ariv. So you say Kiddush and Nishman Esrei, you say Havdalah Matzoy Shabbos. So you can be yotze the Kiddush and Havdalah b'tefillah b'dvarim. And the requirement to repeat the Kiddush a second time in Havdalah, a second time, that's only midirabbanim. The Baal HaTanya writes in his Shulchan Aruch that even if the women have the practice never to dav Ma'ariv, but he thinks that on Leil Shabbos and Leil Matzoy Shabbos, the women should be obligated to Dav Ma'ariv because they're obligated in Kiddush. And they're obligated in Kiddush to both halves of the Kiddush, the Kiddush B'dvarim, Kiddush B'tfilah, as well as the Kiddush Al Hayayin. So he thinks that all the women should, most of the women do not do that. He thinks that the women should be careful to Dav and Ma'ariv on Leil Shabbos as well as Matzoy Shabbos. What is the big difference? Whether Taisa says you shouldn't read the Gemara like that. That the Nazir had no right to accept Naziris to make it impossible for him to drink the Kiddush and Havdalah. Taisa says that the different Masechtas were edited by different committees when they were composing the Talmud Bavli. And those who edited Nedarim and Nazir have a different style of writing. Loshen Nedarim Mishuna, Loshen Nozem Mishuna. It's a strange way. And the line of the Gemara means fakert. You should read it betmiya. Ah, you mean to say that a nozer is allowed to drink wine? Ah, it's ridiculous. Not allowed to drink wine. That's how Taisa says. You shouldn't read it. Taisa says that there were earlier Rishonim who read the Gemara straight. Nozer is allowed in the Binichus. A nozer is permitted to drink Yen Kiddush Ma'avdolah because he had no right to accept upon himself Naziris to prohibit his drinking of the wine. He's obligated by the Torah to drink the wine. And Taisus quotes Rabbi Natami means faket. So that's the accepted opinion. We assume the nozer not allowed to drink the wine Kiddush and Abdullah, and the wine is the ala yain is the rabban. But we do paskin Abdullah is the raisa. What's the difference Allah alamaisa whether Abdullah is the raisa the rabban? And so the Magen Mishnah in his commentary on the Rambam thinks the difference should be with respect to women. If Abdullah is also min Torah, so it's the same as Kiddush, learned that from the same pasuk as Kiddush. So just like we said that Zoch v'Shama we recited simultaneously, v'Vasachas, v'Dibrechot Nemru, and therefore there's a hekesh, we treat it like a hekesh, and since the women are obligated in Shomer, the women are not permitted to do Malacha, so too the women are obligated to recite Kiddush, so the women would be obligated to recite Havdalah as well. But if one should assume that Havdalah is only Medirabbanon, so there is no hekesh on it, so then one can be free to say, it doesn't necessarily follow, one would be free to say, maybe women are not obligated to recite Havdalah. So that's why the minhag has it that women never recite their own Havdalah. A woman always listens to a man who says Havdalah. A man shouldn't say Havdalah only for women. Let's say the man already was Yotze Havdalah. Man already said Havdalah. And then a woman comes in, the next day neighbor, the almana, the next day neighbor comes in, or a single girl comes in, she didn't have Havdalah yet. So you're not allowed to say Havdalah for a woman. Maybe she's not mechuyev in Havdalah. So what am I saying? I can't say Havdalah for her. So bottom line, we paskin that a woman is mechuyev min ator in Havdalah. We paskin Havdalah is their raisa. It's a chumrah that the women have, that they always avoid saying their own Havdalah, because maybe women are potter. Women are potter from the Tilos Lulav also, and by the Ashkenazim, they do say a broch on the Tilos Lulav. Women are potter from sitting in Sukkah. Many women do recite a brocha when they sit in the Sukkah. So why should Havdalah be different? So the Magen Avraham quotes the Bach, gives a whole explanation why it's different over here. That's a brocha in connection with a mitzvah. The mitzvah is the brocha. So somehow this is different, and the women should not volunteer. So that was the minig, based on this idea from the Magen Mishnah, that if Havdalah is only the Rabbanon, so maybe women are exempt. But bottom line, we really paskin Havdalah is the Raisa. And Mikra Din, the women are really Mechuyev in Havdalah. That's where Rabbi Kiveger has a kasha in Hilchas Sfiras Oimer. The practice is that in Shul on Friday night, first we say, in the middle of Sfira, first we say Kiddush, and then we tell Svira afterwards, in order to greet the Shabbos earlier, to be Moshe Mechol HaKadosh, the Shabbos should be brought in earlier. So Shabbos, we do the reverse. First we recite Svira Seimer, and then we say Havdalah later, in order to delay the bidding farewell to the Shabbos. We postpone Shabbos, we delay the bidding farewell to the Shabbos later. Call up, the Gemara has that lotion. Call up Puki Yomim Machrina. It's better to prolong Shabbos a little longer. So Rabbi Akiva Eger points out that this would have been a good explanation if the Havdalah with the Sfira Samer would be on the same level. But he says they're not on the same level. The Gemara has a machlokes where the Sfira Samer Bizmana says the Raisa the Rabbana. So bottom line, we paskin, there's a machlokes. And the Mishonim, we paskin, bottom line, Sfira Samer is the Rabbana. Because there is no Mincha Samer, there's no Beis Hamikdash, so there is no Sfira Samer in Atar. And Havdalah is a machlokes, but it's the Raisa Rabbanah. Bottom line, we pass on Havdalah is the Raisa. So if one is the Raisa, one is the Rabbanah. The one that's the Raisa should come first. That's Mekudesh Ve'ena Mekudesh. Mekudesh Kodem. The more important mitzvah should come first. So you should really say Havdalah before Sfira Samer. So he asked this kasha, he doesn't have a teretz. He says, why is it that in Shulchan Aruch it says the practice is that you postpone reciting Havdalah? First you tell Sfira, then say Havdalah. He says it should have been the reverse. Based on the fact that Havdalah is really deraisa, he says, true, there was a machlekes, but we pass on Havdalah is deraisa, and Sfira Sam is the Rabbanah, so the Havdalah should have come first. But our practice is that we sell Sfira first, then we say Havdalah.
So you're already back to Rabbanah.
That could be the good answer. That could be an answer. Rikvegri asked the Kashi, doesn't have an answer. That's a good answer.
Is there a difference on who drinks? Because our tendency is that when you make Kiddush, everyone at the table drinks. And when you make Havdalah, the person who makes the Havdalah drinks. Is there some significance to this and why?
It's a very interesting question. I don't know the answer. In the days of the Bali HaTosis, everybody drank by Havdalah also.
The woman.
Everybody used to drink. By Kiddush, strictly speaking, even if you don't drink, the Gemara says everybody's yotzei. Kiddush on Friday night. Kiddush on Shabbos morning, all we say is Bar Pi HaGofen. Then you have a minute, you say these psukim, those psukim, the other psukim, but that's all in Minhagim. Strictly speaking, you just say Bar Pi HaGofen. So Shabbos morning, there are those who insist that whoever doesn't drink the wine is not yotzei the Kiddush on Shabbos morning. Friday night, everyone's yotzei the Kiddush because there's a whole bracha of a Kiddush. So somebody has to drink. Either the one who says the Kiddush or someone else who is being Yotze should drink. But strictly speaking, everybody's Yotze Friday night in Havdalah, even if you don't drink. But the Kiddush on Shabbos morning, it's interesting, there were two brothers-in-law. The one who wrote the Aruch HaShulchan was a brother-in-law of the Netziv. Mrs. Aruch HaShulchan was, her maiden name was Berlin. She was a sister of Pershalei Berlin, the Netziv, who was the Rosh Hashim Valozhin, the last 39 years that Valozhin was in existence till it closed down. Valozhin lasted for 90 years. She was Valozhin. Then it was closed down by the government. So they both wrote commentaries. It's interesting. They both wrote commentaries on the Shiltas, and they both came up with the same idea based on the line in the Shiltas that whoever doesn't drink the Kiddush on Shabbos morning, according to the Shiltas, isn't Yotze. So they recommended this chumrah. I don't know why the minhag is that everybody drinks from the Kiddush and not from the Havdalah. The Rabbi Soloveitchik gave a whole explanation. Yeah, okay. A long explanation. Yeah, what is this idea of Kiddush over a cup of wine? It's the reciting Shachianu of a cup of wine enhances the Hashivas of the Bracha. Veisha Basuka over a cup of wine. When we say Havdalah, Gemara says, strictly speaking, you can really say Bar Minim Samim as you're walking in the street. You can say Bar Mer Ha'esh when you see a light anywhere. And then you're Yotze ready. So you only have to say the Havdalah over the cup of wine. Our meaning is that we recite the Takanas Chacham, that you recite Bar Minim Samim and Bar Mer Ha'esh, everything over a cup of wine. This enhances the Hashivas of all the Brachas. So the Kiddush Alayayin enhances the Hashivas of the Kiddush. And our Torah can be Yotze the Kiddush B'Tfilah B'Dvarim. But reciting over a cup of wine enhances the Hashivas. In Kabbalah Svarim, they write a little more that according to Parshas Bereishis, Adam Rishon was created on the sixth day of the Bria, the sixth day of creation. That was Erev Shabbos, and he was commanded, instructed not to eat from the Eitz Hadas. So which tree was the Eitz Hadas? So there are different ideas in the Medrash, and one of the popular ideas, one idea is that it was an Esrog. Some think that it was a Te'ena tree, because Vayispur Aleteina, and others claim there's a popular opinion in the Medrash that it was a grape, a grapevine. Because you know, all the tzoras come from the wine. All the tzoras come from people drink wine, they get drunk, and then they do averis, then they do all kinds of stupid things. So in Kabbalah Sram, they have such an idea that reciting Kiddush over a cup of wine on Friday night, it's supposed to be a tikkun for the avera that Adam Rishon did by eating from the Eitz Hadas. If you should assume that the Eitz Hadas was a grapevine. What kind of wine are you supposed to have? So the Gemara in Perek Avit Psochim, the last Perek in Psochim, discusses, is white wine acceptable for a bracha ala kos? White wine is bar pi agofen. There's no dispute about that. But maybe when you have arbekosis, or maybe Kiddush and Abdallah, so the Pasuk in Mishlei says, Al tere yain ki yisadom, that red wine is more chashivas than white wine. So there's a machlokes hatanoim. One time is of the opinion that you're not yotze Kiddush or abukosis if you use white wine. So that, we don't pasken like that, but that opinion is good. The Ramban paskens like that. It's machlokes hatanoim and a machlokes arishayim. So there were those who are makpid about that. They're mahadar davke to use red wine. For Kiddush and Abdallah, for Abakosis. Sometimes the boys come from the yeshiva to eat by me on Shabbos, and sometimes they bring a bottle of wine. So a lot of times they bring white wine. So I'm not going to give it back. So I always say, Rabbi Kivega writes that even though you should avoid using white wine for Friday night, but on Shabbos morning, if you don't have wine, you can use Chamar Medina. So it's like Gora from Chamar Medina. So usually what I have is I save the white wine for Shabbos morning. So one of the boys got married after a few years. He used to eat by me, he got married, so he bought two two cartons of wine, white wine and red wine. He uses the red wine for Kiddush on Friday night. I use the white wine. Hey, Rabbi Shechta. Rabbi Shechta always. So I explained to him, I didn't buy the white wine. We got stuck with white wine. I'm not going to throw it out. So we used it for Kiddush on Shabbos morning. So the Hatchila should be red wine. If he's stuck with white wine, try to use it for Shabbos morning. And if not, so you can use it for Kiddush on Friday night. The Gemara has a statement in Bava Basra, of all places, in the middle of Bava Basra, that you can only recite Kiddush over wine, Yain Sheroy Lanasech Al Gabi HaMizbeach, wine that could have been used to pour on the Mizbeach for the Nisach HaYain. What does that mean? So let's say grape juice, you squeeze out the grapes, you're not allowed to use grape juice, freshly squeezed out grape juice, you're not allowed to use it Al Gabi HaMizbeach. It says, Hasech Nesech Sheikhar Lashem. Sheikhar means that it should be Meshaker. If it's Yai Migito, he just squeezed out the grapes, so it's not Meshaka. You have to wait till it ferments, until it turns into wine. And nonetheless, let's say a person is stuck out of town, and he got stuck for Shabbat. How's he going to say? Where's he going to get kosher wine? So no problem. Mara says, go to the store, buy a cluster of grapes, squeeze out the grapes on Friday, not on Shabbat. Squeeze out the grapes on Friday. You have a cup of wine, sure. The Gemara says, I'm all of Kiddush Hayam. You make your own grape juice, it is good. So the Gemara says, you see, that is not correct, that the Yayin Migito wine straight from the wine press may not be used for Nisal Hagabi Hamizbech, but it can be used for Kiddush. What did you mean by the statement that you can't use for Kiddush wine unless it's Royal Nisal Hagabi Hamizbech? The Gemara says, no, we're talking about a different thing. Sometimes the wine sits in the house so long till it starts to get spoiled. So it has particles floating on the top. It's the beginning of Gerizmon. It doesn't taste so good. So it's just like it's not proper to use such wine. And then Mizbeach says, Yain Shehelo Kmochim, if it has the particles floating on the top, you shouldn't use it for Kiddush either. So Taisus says, that's the whole din. That's all there is in the din, nothing more. The Rambam quotes the Gaonim that it's not so, that's one din. But there are Yayin Mevushal. If you have wine that was cooked, so the Gemara says also, you're not Yotze if you pour it on the Mizbeach. Same thing, let's say you shech the Korban, he's supposed to be Zorik the Dam on Karnas on Mizbeach. So the Gemara says, if you cook the Dam before you Zorik it, you're not Yotze. The Dam has to be in its original state. Same thing, let's say you burn the Yemurim, you burn the Chel of Agabi HaMizbeach. So the Gemara says, if you cook the Yemurim first and then you put it on the Mizbeach, you're not Yotze. You have to burn raw Yemurim. You can't burn, you're not Yotze Haktara if the Yemurim were cooked. So the Rambam quotes the Gaonim, the Yayim Mevushal, since it's not acceptable for Nisal Agabi HaMizbeach, so it wouldn't be acceptable for Kiddush either. You shouldn't use Yayim Mevushal. That's why Kedem sells two kinds of wines. On some of the bottles it says mevushal, some of the bottles says not mevushal. What's the chachma making not mevushal? Because there are those who want to be machmer for the Rambam and the Gaonim not to use yain mevushal for Kiddush, and they write that it's not mevushal. Moshe Feinstein says that they're not correct, that all of their wine is mevushal. Because all the wines are pasteurized, all these wines that Kedem sells, they're all pasteurized. And Moshe says when you pasteurize the wine, it's well above yatzah lettuce, so that's called mevushal. The Tzelem Erov, who originally used to give the Hashgacha on the Kedem wine, was of the opinion, he read the Shulchan Aruch like that, that it's only considered Yayin Mevushal if you heated it till the point of evaporation, till 212. So he said, they pasteurized the wine below 212. So he said, that's Ein Mevushal and this is Mevushal. They sell two kinds of wine. Moshe said that it's a mistake. He says that the Orza Ruah, right, wrote a suffix. Azura was from the Bali Ateshvis. Azura was the Rebbe of the Maharam Rutenberg towards the end of the period of the Bali Ateshvis. The Azura has a suffix. When is it considered Yai Mevushal? Maybe if it's cooked till it's lukewarm, maybe Hefshero, Zehu Bishulo. So he's not sure, so he says, no, he thinks that the Hefshero is not enough. Lukewarm is not enough, has to be Yatzaletis. But to say you need more than Yatzaletis, you need Mala Resicha, that it should be till 212, which is the point of evaporation, 100 degrees centigrade, so he thinks that that's not correct. Now Moshe claims that all of the pasteurized wines are all mevushal. Then the Rambam has a machlekes with the Gaonim, another detail. There's another yayin that's not royal anasach agabi hamizbeach. The pasuk says in Chumash that you're not permitted to bring in a korban mincha seor udvash. If you mix in seor means chametz, or dvash means pri v'chol mesikas pri. So you're not allowed to, not allowed to bring it on the Mizbeach. And we say when we recite the Pit Maktoris, So we say if he would have mixed in a little dvash, it would have been gorgavaldik. Would have smelled the gorgavaldik. But you're not allowed to mix in dvash. So the lashon of the brayse is mnasim advash psolo. That's what it says in Pit mnasim advash psolo. So the Minchas Chinuch writes he's not sure how to translate that line. If you mix in dvash, you passel the whole carbon of the k'toris, and if you burn it, you're not yotze the mitzvah. Oh no! If you put the k'toris is burnt on the inside mizbech, mizbech k'toris. You don't passel it, but you're not allowed to be makter it because you'll be in violation of the averus or a dvash. But it doesn't passel the k'toris. The k'toris will be good. You'll have at the same time you'll be yotze a mitzvah. You'll have an avera also, sor a dvash. So that's the machlokes, the Rambam and the Gaonim. If you have wine where you have sugar added. A lot of the wines have a lot of sugar added. So if you have a wine that has sugar added, so some goyim are of the opinion that this wine would be possible in asach agav hemizbech, so you're not allowed to use it for kiddush either. And the Rambam held, no, the wine is not possible in asach. You can't use the wine, you'll be in violation of the aveir, but there's no aveir of sorad vash when you're making kiddush. The wine per se remains kosher. So that's a machlek on the assumption that yayim uvushal is not acceptable, because it's not kosher l'nasach hagamim mizbech. What about wine that has sugar added? Now, Mr. Herzog, who's the owner of Kedem wine, had a chiddush. Not all the chiddushim are for the rabbis. The balabatim also come up with chiddushim. So he had a chiddush, and he may be right. He's probably right. He has a chiddush that when you add sugar, there's a machlokes whether you passel the wine. That's if you add sugar from a different source. What if he had sugar that you took from wine? So he has his Malaga and his Concord, all of his wines that he has sugar added. He adds sugar from wines. So he said, that's like mixing one wine with another wine. Probably right. So he holds that his sugar added is good. He holds that he has wine that's Eina Mavushal. He's following the Tzelem Arab, that his wine that's Eina Mavushal is Eina Mavushal. Moshe says it's anyway Mavushal, so you're not gaining anything. But according to those who followed Zen Marav, that his wine ain't a bushel, ain't a bushel. So the question is, well, is it, does it have Sora Dvash? So he claims that this is not Dvash. Dvash means if you have Mesika's Pri from a different Pri. But if you have Dvash from wine, so it's like mixing one wine with another wine. Mistama, he's right. There is a big hullabaloo in the Shulchan Aruch. We mentioned earlier that the Baal HaTanya says that the women should really, even if the women usually don't daven Ma'ariv every night, but Friday night and Matzoi Shabbos, they really should daven Ma'ariv. Some say that Rabbi Yankiv Hemdin says the same, because it's in Rabbi Yankiv Hemdin Siddur. And others point out that in the original edition, Rabbi Yankiv Hemdin Siddur doesn't have that. The printers smuggled it in. Some Lubavitcher printers took this from the Baal HaTanya Shulchan Aruch, and they put it into the Rabbi Yankiv Hemdin Siddur. Baal HaTanya said, Rabbi Yankiv Hemdin didn't say. Okay. But a lot of women don't daven Ma'ariv on Friday night. Not everybody follows the Baal HaTanya. So they have a discussion in Shulchan Aruch, the Rebbe Yehuda on the side of the Shulchan Aruch raises the issue. If the husband already daven Ma'ariv, so the husband is only obligated to recite Kiddush Midirabbanan, the wife is obligated to recite Kiddush Manatorah, because she didn't daven Ma'ariv yet. So how can the husband be Moitzi the wife? If Taisa says that there's no orbis for women, makes it possible, even if I said Kiddush already, I can say Kiddush a second time for another man who didn't say Kiddush yet. But if there's a woman that didn't say Kiddush yet, so Taisa sounds like they said there's no orbis for women. So this is a whole hullabaloo, a whole discussion in the Shulchan Aruch. How do you solve this problem? So Rabbi Akiva Eger has a comment on this issue that the Nadi Behuda raised. He says, when the husband comes home and he says to his wife, Good Shabbos, she responds back, Good Shabbos. So she's Yotze Kiddush Menatorah. She said, Good Shabbos. She recognized the fact. She spoke about the fact that today is Shabbos. So she was Yotze Kiddush Menatorah. So they're both only Midirabban. The husband and the wife are both on the level of the Rabban. So the Mishnah Berurah is not happy with that comment Rabbi Kivega said. He said, You Yotze Kiddush by saying Good Shabbos, Anayazach. He says, the Rambam both in the Mishnah Torah and in the Sefer HaMitzvot writes, that Kiddush, you have to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu for giving us Shabbos, and mention the fact that Shabbos is a special day, unique, that has Kedushas Hayayim. It's a different day from all the other days of the week. Just say good Shabbos, like say, have a nice Matzoi Shabbos. Agut Tevach. You didn't say anything special about Shabbos. You have to say the Kedushas Hayayim of Shabbos, something. That's the taina of the Mishnah Berurah. So Soloveitchik had that taina also. That how can you say that good Shabbos is Yotze Kiddush? That's where Rabbi Soloveitchik added on, that we have a minig that we recite the Zmiris on Shabbos. So what's the Zmiris all about? So he says most of the Zmiris, not all of them, most of the Zmiris speak about the uniqueness of the day, Yom Zemechubad, and so on. So you're enhancing the fulfillment of the mitzvah of Kiddush. Not only did you recite the Kiddush, you keep on singing Zmiris about the Kedusha Sayyam, that the day is a special day and has a lot of mitzvahs. So the reciting of the Zmiris is a further enhancement of the mitzvah of reciting of Kiddush. Because you're adding on more of the Shevach Hayom. The way we read the Gemara, Tosis doesn't agree, the way we read the Gemara, if one doesn't have wine, if you can't afford wine, so you can recite Kiddush over Challah on Friday night. In Europe, many tzaddikim, Chofetz Chaim, most of the time said Kiddush over Challah, so he couldn't afford beer they had. So on Shabbos morning, they would say, Shabbos morning, you can't recite Kiddush over Challah. People make a mistake. Because Shabbos morning, there's no bracha. All you say is the Bar Pi Agafen. What are you going to say? Hamoitzi. Every meal always starts off with Hamoitzi, so there's nothing unique about it. You're going to say, Vishomer, Zochas Yam Shabbos Al Kacha, that's just Minhagim. So it says in the Shulchan Aruch, the Mechaber quotes in Shuvos HaRosh, Shabbos morning, there is no such thing. It can't be Yotze Kiddush with Challahs. But Friday night, we follow most of the Rishonim and say that if a person can't afford wine, so you can be Yotze Kiddush say the Kiddush. You have to wash first and say Hamoitzi and then say the Kiddush.
But if there's no
challah
either, you start with
the... So you don't say Kiddush? Okay, you answer with the Kiddush in davening. You can't say the takana, but the rabbana, if they say Kiddush a second time, is only if you have either challah or wine. If you have neither, say you don't. Avdola, we paskin, you can be yotze on Hamar Medina. On other things that you would be mechabed a guest to drink if someone would come to your home. Coca-Cola. Chamar Medina. There is an opinion. I don't think we pass like that. We pass on Shabbos morning can be Yotze Chamar Medina, but Friday night has to be Dafki either Pasa Yain. Yeah. When do you say by Chulu?
Yeah, I
don't know. I never said Kiddush over Challahs. I don't know. It's probably says Beferish in the Shulchan Aruch. I would assume that you say Bachulu also after you wash. I would assume so. What do the Yekkes do? they always say. The Yekkes to follow their Amor. They wash, then they say Kiddush, then they say Hamoitzi right away. So they say Bachulu. They say how long have suffered. So I think everybody else also, if you're saying Kiddush over the Challahs, they say Bachulu after Netilas Yadayim. Rabbi Chana Wasserman was a brother-in-law of Rab Chaim Moshe. They married two sisters. They married the daughters of a prominent rabbi there. So Rabbi Chana once came back to the yeshiva in Baranovich and he told the Talmidim that he saw that his brother-in-law, Rab Chaim Moshe, said Havdalah over a cup of coffee. He felt that coffee was a Chamar Medina. And he recited the Havdalah when the coffee was piping hot, it was burning hot. He wasn't able to drink it right away. So he had to wait till he took a sip, then he waited, and he paused till he drank it. So he told the Talmidim that he asked his brother, Rab Chaim Moshe, why don't you wait till it cools down? And then you say Havdalah, you'll be able to drink the whole thing. So he said it wouldn't be considered Chamar Medina. Chamar Medina means the way you would be mechabed a guest. So you're not mechabed a guest with coffee that's lukewarm. You have to be mechabed a guest with piping hot, burning hot coffee. So you got to say Havdalah when it's piping hot. And then the drinking, so that'll take a while. So you got to pause a little bit. When we recite Havdalah, in addition to the Bar Pi Agafen, Moshe Feinstein has a truth about what constitutes Chamar Medina. There was some poskim where Rabbi opinion Chamar Medina has to have alcoholic content. That soda would not be acceptable and coffee would not be acceptable. So there is such a chumra, there is such an opinion. But Mikra Din, we don't really follow that. So Rabbi Chaim Moshe says, Havdalah over coffee, taka. So Rabbi Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva where he discusses what constitutes Chamar Medina. So then at the end, the last paragraph in the tshuva, he writes, well, where in the world do you live? where do you live that you don't have wine available? You ran out of wine. Knock on the next door neighbor's door and you get some wine. What Shaykh today to say that the person doesn't have wine unless he's in the mountains and there's no, he's the last one there and there's no, everybody else went back to the city. He's the first one there. No one else. There's always somebody who has some wine. So go to someone else's home and get wine. How is it Shaykh to say it's not right to make Havdalah over Chamar Medina? Kiddush on Shabbos morning over Chamar Medina is also not right. Chamar Medina is only when wine is not available. The Hasidim used to say Kiddush on Shabbos morning over a small cup of schnapps. So the only thing they were concerned about was that the small cup of schnapps doesn't have a reviz. It doesn't have a beitz or a machz. It has much less. So they said they're relying on the Taz. The Taz writes in, you only say Bor Nefoshes if you drank a reviz of a beverage. If you had less, then you don't say Bor Nefoshes. So the Taz writes a chiddush that schnapps, since the minig is that people drink a small amount of schnapps, it has a hashivas, so you can say Bor Nefoshes after that amount of schnapps also. So they rely. So the Achranim have chuvas. We rely on that Taz with respect to saying Kiddush on Shabbos morning. Kiddush on Shabbos morning is only with the Rabbanu, it's not the Hatur. So they rely on the Taz. But they quote from Abchaim Volozhiner, he was such a fabbisin and misnagit. Abchaim Volozhiner was the Talmud of the Vilna Gaon. So he complains about the fact that the Hasidim are saying Kiddush on Shabbos morning over a glaze of schnapps. So he says it's like saying Kiddush over a bowl of soup. He says it's not a beverage at all. A beverage means something that people drink to quench their thirst. Nobody drinks schnapps to quench their thirst. Even in, I used to have a charusa with a Russian, a real Russian, Professor Kashdan. He's a big math genius. So he says, even in Russia, when they drink a lot of vodka, they don't drink vodka when they're thirsty. I used to drink a soda tea. He used to drink a cup like this, vodka like this. He said, they don't drink vodka when they're thirsty to quench their thirst. They drink it to relax or whatever, to put them in a happy mood, that their brain should work better or whatever. But it's not really a beverage. That's our private lunch in the tainus. That you, just like you can't say Kiddush on Shabbos morning over a bowl of soup, it's a Michael, so too you can't say Kiddush over schnapps. There's a Kosher Glover was killed by the Nazis, so he has a tshuva where he talks about schnapps. So he quotes the Kamarna, was a Chassidish Rebbe, who wrote a Pirush on Mishnayos. There's a separate set of Mishnayos. I don't know why. They have it in Broya Shul in the women's section. They have the Kamarna Pirush on Mishnayos. Maybe the women learn Mishnayos there. I don't know. So in the Kamarna writes in Seder Taris that schnapps is a Michael. He says schnapps is not a Mashke. Exactly. So the Kosher Glover comes to defend the Chassidish practice. Why they say Kiddush Shabbos morning over such a small cup of schnapps. So he says, because since it's a Michael, so therefore the shear should be Kazais, not Revius. And Kazais is a Michael, like whether Chatzi Beitzah, Shlish Beitzah. And the Magen Avraham says, if respect to a Din de Rabbanon, you can be Mekel. So he says, Kiddush Shabbos morning is only the Rabbanon. So you can make a Shlish Beitzah is good enough. But once you present the argument that Schnapps is a Michael, then a private Lojana says, it doesn't qualify as Chamar Medina. Chamar Medina, the first step has to be a beverage, it has to be a Mashke, not a Michael. So that's an issue. The Gemara says beferish that if a person is mekabel Shabbos early, then he can say, let's say mekabel Shabbos after plag mincha in the summertime. A lot of shuls they daven early. So the Gemara says you can say kiddush also before the sun sets, and you yotze. According to most of the Rishonim, it's because you're mekabel Tosefes Shabbos, so you're reciting kiddush during this man of Tosefes Shabbos. The Rambam seems to hold there is no such thing as Tosefes Shabbos. Not only not obligated to accept Tosefes Shabbos, even if you do accept, it's not Chal. Tosefes Shabbos doesn't exist, only Tosefes Yom Kippur. So how does the Rambam understand the Gemara? The Gemara says he can recite Kiddush Mibod Yom, when the sun is still shining. So the Rambam says, he quotes the Gemara, says also, let's say a person is in a rush on Matzoy Shabbos to go somewhere. For some reason or another, he's going to be in a rush. So the Gemara says, "B'shas Atraki, can we say Havdalah before Shabbos is over, late in the afternoon on Shabbos afternoon? Shabbos doesn't end; you still have to wait till Tzeisak Rechavim. But you can fulfill Havdalah either about the time Shabbos ends, either before Shabbos ends or after Shabbos ends. So Kiddush can be recited about the time that Shabbos entered, either soon before Shabbos is about to enter or soon after Shabbos did enter." But he says the fact that you recite Kiddush Mibod Yom, you daven Ma'ariv early, then you say Kiddush, doesn't mean that it's Shabbos. He thinks that there's no such thing as Tosefes Shabbos. You can be Yotzei Kiddush on Erev Shabbos, if it's Samach L'Shabbos, if it's late in the afternoon. But that's beferish in the Gemara. You have to have kiddush b'makom suda. That's only a din b'drabanan, and you have to start the meal right away. So that's a machlokes in Tosfos. When you daven early, mekabel Shabbos early, and you said kiddush b'mod yom before the sun goes down, you have to start the meal right away. And kiddush elam b'makom suda, the same location right away. A lot of people have the practice, they dilly-dally. When they come home from shul, so they carry on a whole conversation until they say kiddush. I said in Shulchan Aruch, that's not right. It says, yimaher. It says, when you come home Friday night, you should hasten to recite kiddush right away. Then immediately after recite kiddush, you should hasten to go wash until it's a diving. You shouldn't dilly-dally. It's not going to be kiddush memakom suda. Unless you have, let's say, a diving room, you have 500 people eating, and you have only one place to wash until it's a diving. So what should I stand on line for half an hour? So I may as well sit and read a sefer, carry on a conversation or something. But if they have a lot of places to wash until it's done, so you should go wash right away. You shouldn't pause in between the kiddush and the suda. You have to have kiddush b'makom suda. On Shabbos morning, many people have the practice, many shuls, they have a kiddush in the shul. Somebody says bar piagof and everybody's yotzei kiddush. According to the Netziv and Dorach HaShulchan, only one who drank the wine was yotzei the Kiddush. The other people are not yotzei the Kiddush. But the Minhag HaOlam is not like the Dorach HaShulchan with the Netziv. They said this within the Shiltas. The Minhag HaOlam is not like the Shiltas. So then everybody has cake. The people don't wash. So the question is, have you satisfied the requirement of Kiddush B'makom Suda by having cake? So the Shulchan Aruch quotes that the Gaonim are of the opinion that you have satisfied that requirement. Kiddush b'makom suda is good even if you just have cake. So when you go home and then you want to have the meal, do you have to repeat kiddush again or not? So we usually assume everybody was yotzi kiddush in shul. They relied on the shita sagayim and that's kiddush b'makom suda. So Leishig used to say he doesn't think that we really paskin like the goyim. He thought that the fact that the minhag olam is, he didn't follow that minhag. When he would participate in the kiddush in shul, he would always wash. He would ask for two chalas and wash, because the Vilna Gaon paskins like the Rosh, it ain't kiddush and makom suda means you have to have the suda with the pas. The suda that you yotz the suda Shabbos, you're not yotz the suda Shabbos with the cake, you have to have the avke pas. He said, and even the minhag olam that the people have, they make kiddush and shul, and then they have cake and cookies and other things, he thought it's not that we really follow the Gaon, and he thought it's based on a sveik, because on Friday night the din is that you're not allowed to eat before kiddush, you're not even allowed to drink water before kiddush. Let's say someone's holding a drush in shul in between Kabbalah Shabbos and Baruch Hu, and he's holding a longer drush. He wants to have a drink of water, so you have to remind him that he's not allowed to have a drink of water. He's holding a drush on Matzoy Shabbos before Ma'ariv. So then the Gemara says, you're allowed to drink, you are permitted, you're not allowed to eat or drink before Havdalah, except for water. Water you may drink before Havdalah, but before Kiddush, even water you're not allowed to drink. So the Gemara talks about not eating and drinking before Kiddush on Friday night. What about not eating and drinking before Kiddush on Shabbos morning? He already said Kiddush on Friday night. It already is Shabbos. So is this, does it still, the din still applies on Shabbos morning that you're not supposed to eat before Kiddush in the morning? So that's a machlokes between the Rambam and the Raavad. So the Rambam says the same din applies Shabbos morning. You're not supposed to eat before Kiddush. And the Raavad says, what do you mean? But he already said Kiddush last night. You'll say Kiddush when Makom Suda later, but you're allowed to eat before Kiddush. So Rav Soloveitchik thought that the minhag olam to make kiddush and shul and then to have cake and cookies and whatever, gefilte fish, he thought that is based on a sveik. Maybe the din is like the Raavad that you're permitted to eat whatever you want before kiddush. And even if the din is like the Rambam, you're not allowed to, so maybe the din is like the goyim that you eat the kiddush makom suda by having cake. But the sveik only permits you to eat at the kiddush and shul, but then you're still masupik. Maybe you won't eat the kiddush. When you go home, you should really repeat kiddush again. You should say bar piagofen again. They say that was the practice of Rav Moshe Feinstein also. When he would participate in the kiddush, he didn't want to hurt people's feelings. And when he would participate in the kiddush, he wouldn't insist on lech mishnah like Rav Soloveitchik would. But he would, when he would go home, he would say kiddush again. To be choshish for the shita that you're not yet to kiddush b'makom suda if you didn't have the chalas. In Havdalah, the takanas of chamim was that you should recite bar piagofen first, then bar minim summit, bar mi'ahuesh, and then say the Havdalah, and everything is ala kos. You hold the cup in your hand, you enhance the chashivas of all of the brachas by reciting everything ala kos. So it's not right. A lot of people have the practice when they say bar minim summit, they put down the cup of wine, then they hold the summit, they put down the summit, then they hold the candle. It says in Shulchan Aruch, it says in the Gemara, you're supposed to hold the cup of wine the whole time when you're saying bar minim summit. and Bar Mirihu Eish as well. The Shulchan Aruch quotes from the Rav Yoh that when you say, the Gemara says in Brochas, the fellow wants to say Bari Pi Agav, and he wants to say Bari Minim Sam. So whenever you say, if a person is a righty, he holds whatever he wants to say a bracha, and he should hold in his right hand. A person is a lefty, he holds in your left hand. But let's say a person is a righty, he holds a cup of wine in his right hand, but he wants to say a bracha b'samim also. So which should he hold in the right hand, which should he hold in the left hand? So the Gemara says the wine is more important than the b'samim. So he should hold the cup of wine in the right hand, hold the b'samim in the left hand. So that's what it says in the Gemara. So the Shulchan Aruch quotes the Rav Yoh, yeah, that's when you start Havdalah. You hold the cup of wine in the right hand, hold the psalm in the left hand. But then when you're about to say Barim Mitzvah, you should switch hands. You shouldn't put down the Becher. Put it down, then you're saying Barim Mitzvah, Shalom Alakos. And the Tanoim recommended you should say Alakos. So the Rabbi Yoh says you should switch hands. You should hold the cup of wine in the left hand and hold the psalm in the right hand, because whatever you say the bracha over, you should hold in the right hand. The Vilna Goyen writes on the Gemara in Brachas that it wouldn't appear so in the Gemara. The Vilna Goyen's practice was that he held a cup of wine in his right hand the whole time. He said, the Gemara says, you only have two hands. It doesn't have to be here. So you hold a cup of wine, you only have one right hand. So you hold a cup of wine in the right hand, you hold something in the left hand. So the wine is more important. So you hold it in the right hand and you say, Bari Menim Samim, hold them in Samim in the left hand. You don't switch hands.
What about the Yesh?
The Yesh, you don't have to hold it all. You don't have to hold. Someone else can hold it.
One hand at a time, and you keep it close.
Yeah, you hold the cup in your right hand. Yeah, everyone should agree. You should hold the cup in right hand and look at your left hand.
Well, you're supposed to look at the nails on the right hand.
I don't know. The Pashtus is that you should hold the cup. If you have the b'samim with the cup of wine, so the Rav Yoh has a chiddush that you got to switch hands, and the Vilna Gaon says not to switch hands. But by the Bar Mior Heish, you're not holding anything in your hand. So the Pashtus is, you certainly should hold the cup of wine in the right hand and look on the left hand. All the other people who are not holding any cup of wine, so let them look, right hand, left hand, whatever they want. But the one who's saying Abdullah, the Pashtus, he should continue holding the cup of wine in his right hand. The Gemara says it's preferable when you say Bar Mior Heish to have an avuka. What is an avuka? So we usually assume a Havdalah candle has a few wicks, and all the wicks make together a big flame, one big flame together. What if you have two candles? So usually the meaning is that you join the two candles together till they make one flame. Rabbi Kidega quotes from the Maharil that, strictly speaking, if you have the two candles near each other, they don't have to necessarily blend in to make one big flame. It's considered an avuka even if they're near each other. People are not familiar with this, Rabbi Kidega, because it doesn't write it on the side of the Shulchan Aruch and Hilchas Havdalah. He writes it in Hilchas Shechita. Of all places. It says if you want to shecht at night, you have to make sure you have an avuka. You just can have a little candle, so you may make the behemah an aveli. You may not shecht properly, so make sure you have an avuka, and then it's okay. So Rabbi Kavega says, was haist an avuka? He quotes the Maril that from Matzoi Shabbos, you don't have to have the two candles make one big flame. You have two candles near each other, that's also good. So that's why many have the practice that when Yontav is Chaliyas b'Matzoi Shabbos, so you say Kiddush and Havdalah, and you say Barei Miyari Ha'esh, so many have the practice, they just hold the two candles near each other, they don't have the two blending together, because there may be a hashash of some malacha or another. What malacha can it be already if you're going to hold the two candles together? So they usually say it may be a malacha of Mechabe, because when you hold the two candles together, some of the wax will drip down. So if you take out some of the Amistapik Ben Hashem Shebener, there's a Malacha of Mechaba. So that's the minig of Rav Soloveitchik. He said that's his minig, that he doesn't on Yontav Shecholias B'Matzoi Shabbos, he doesn't put the two candles together. The Achronim write such a minig. He said that maybe it's a Malacha of Havara, unnecessarily. Why is it exactly Havara? Both of the candles are burning already. I don't know, but he said there was such a meaning in Europe, the Dafka, when Yontav Shecholias B'Matzoi Shabbos, you don't blend them in together.
What's the difference if you're doing another malacha? If you're doing the malacha of lighting the fire anyway, what's the difference if you're adding another malacha?
On Yontav, you're permitted to do malachas if it's necessary. If it's not really necessary, so unnecessarily, it's not permissible to do malachas. You have to have a tzorach al chanefesh, a tzorach al yom, or something. So since for the purpose of saying Bar Mei Hu'esh, it's not really necessary, so it's not right to do the malachim.
Can you use the electric light?
Electric bulbs, Rav Soloveitchik said that he remembered personally, Rav Chaim Moshe would say Havdalah on the Reklit Bulb. He wanted to demonstrate that he disagrees with the Maharsham. The Maharsham was a major poisik in Galicia in the early 1900s. Maharsham was of the opinion that turning on an electric bulb on Shabbos is only a malacha midrabbanan. He didn't think it was a malacha deraisa. So Rav Chaim Moshe disagreed. He thought that it's a malacha deraisa of Havara on Shabbos. So to demonstrate that he holds that the electric bulb is aish, he would be mahadet to say bari mi'ar ha'aish on an electric bulb. Rav Soloveitchik said he saw that by Rav Chaim Moshe. Others write that Rav Chaim Soloveitchik said havdalah on an electric bulb. Rav Soloveitchik wasn't aware of that. He just said that he said on an electric bulb. Yeah. An electric bulb would be acceptable if it's not frosted. The Gemara says you can only say bar mi ha'esh if you see the flame itself. If you have a lantern, if you have a cover on top of the light, you can't see the flame, so you can't say the bracha. Say we usually have frosted bulbs, so you can't really see the filament inside. In Broya Shul, whenever it's the Chazan always says Kiddush and Abdullah in front of the shul, except for Pesach night. So they always had when it's Yantav Shechalias for Matzai Shabbos, so they would always have a bulb that they put in right next to the Chazan. So we say Bar Mi'arish on the electric bulb. So years ago there was no such thing as a frosted bulb. Rabbi Breuer lost his eyesight. He died at the age of 98. So he lost his eyesight a few years before. So they switched the bulb, and they made a frosted bulb. So someone complained to him, how can you say Havdalah over the bulb? So he said, what's wrong? You see the filament. So he said, frosted bulb. Didn't know what's a frosted bulb? So when they explained it to him, so he said, it's a Turkish. You can't say over a frosted bulb. You have to be able to see the filament. If you have a non-frosted bulb, a lot of times there are. Chandeliers a lot of times have bulbs that are not frosted. So that you can say, Bar Mi'ar Hi'esh. What do you say about what? Yeah, I think the meaning is that you do look at the fingernails. You look at the shine of the fingernails, you look at the difference in the fingernails and the flesh, and then you look at the shadow, that the three different things you look at. The different minhagim, the achrayim have, whether you should recite the bracha, oivalasi yasam, before you get hanoah from the ner, adafka lacharasi yasam, after you get. A birchas hanenin, you always have to say the bracha before you eat the food. Birchas HaMitzvah, you say the bracha before you perform the mitzvah. Birchas HaShebach is always recited after. Let's say the pilot says we're crossing over the Mediterranean Sea. So you have to close your eyes and say the bracha, and then you open up your eyes. No, first you see the Mediterranean Sea, first you see the Alps, and then you say the bracha. When you see the lightning, when you hear the thunder, then you say, you don't say when you expect to see the lightning, when you expect to hear the thunder. By Birchas HaShebach, you always say the bracha after. So what's the nature of the bracha bar mi'ar ha'esh? So the pashtus is, it's a bichas ha'hoidoa. HaKadosh Baruch Hu taught Adam Rishon how to harness energy, how to make fire, and how to harness the energy from the fire on Matzoi Shabbos. So every Matzoi Shabbos, out of appreciation to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we recite the bichas ha'shevach v'hoidoa. So then the pashtus is, you should first get the hanoah from it, and then say the bracha. The Yismach Moshe, the Chassidus Rebbe, from Nihil. So he has in his drushes, Yismach Moshe, he has a whole pilpul about this machlokes achrayim. Someone asked Rav Moshe Feinstein, so he said, no, that you say the bracha before. But many have the practice to say the bracha after.
Before
you look at your fingernails, yeah. Someone once asked Rav Soloveitchik, so he said, the whole thing is irrelevant. It's a very cold litvish. The whole thing is irrelevant. The Gemara says, if you're close enough that you would be able to... So you have to be close enough to be able to tell the difference between one coin and the other. They used to have coins, they minted coins with the picture of the emperor. So sometimes they had the emperor with a crown, sometimes the emperor without a crown. So the Gemara says if you're close enough to the flame that you can tell the difference between the coin where the emperor has the crown, the coin that he doesn't have the crown, that's not so easy to tell. You have to have good eyes. So then you can say the bracha even if you're not looking at any coins at all. So he said, what's the difference whether you look at your fingernails before or after? You don't have to look at your fingernails at all, as long as you can also enough. So he didn't want to take a stand on the issue. He thought that the whole issue was irrelevant. The different minhagim, whether they recite Kiddush standing or sitting. I remember once Rabbi Gifter was saying that he went through all the different minhagim during his lifetime. He said his father was a balabas, so his father used to stand when he said Kiddush. Then when he went, he was brought up in Virginia. And then when he, after high school, he, his uncle was Dean Zar from the yeshiva. So Dean Zar convinced him he should go to Tel's. Dean Zar was from Tel. So he went to Tel's in the yeshiva. He adopted the yeshiva's minhag. So you stand for by Hulu and you sit for Bar Piyah Goffin. Then he says, later he decided to follow the other minhag that you stand for Yom HaShish, by Chul HaShemayim, it's Rosh HaTevis Yud Kevavkin, and he sits down in the middle of Bar Chulu. And then later in life, he decided to follow the minhag that you sit from the beginning to the end. That's before, he said that's before he took sick. And last years, he couldn't, it was difficult for him to stand, period. But he said when he was still healthy, so he said in his lifetime, he went through all the four minhag. There are different minhagim. Rav Soloveitchik used to point out, you look in the Rambam, in Hilchas Sukkah, the Rambam writes, on Sukkot night, you should say Kiddush standing, because at the end of the Kiddush, you're going to say the Bracha Leisha Basukkah, and you want to say the Bracha Oival HaSiyosam, and Leisha Basukkah means you're going to sit in the Sukkah. So you should say Kiddush on Sukkot night is a Yotzeh Min HaKlal, the Rambam says. Normally, the Rambam apparently said Kiddush in a sitting position. On Leil Sukkot, he said in a standing position. And the Rosh disagrees, but the Rambam says, what? Leisha Basukkah means to sit in the Sukkah. Leisha Basukkah means to spend time in the Sukkah. It's Oival HaSiyosam, even if you recite the Kiddush in the sitting position. Even if you say Kiddush on Sukkot night, also sitting. So the Rambam's practice was that he said Kiddush in a sitting position. Tosfos talks about saying Havdalah in a sitting position, because we said before, Tosfos' practice was that everybody would drink the wine from the Koshal Havdalah. So Tosfos says, I can be moitzi everybody with Havdalah, even if they're not sitting. But I can't be moitzi them with the Bar Piyah Goffin unless everybody is sitting. So Tosfos says you should sit for Havdalah if everybody wants to drink the wine. The Ramah quotes this in Shulchan Aruch, everybody should sit, but we today, we don't drink the Havdalah cup. Only the one who says Havdalah is drinking. So today the whole minute to sit, the whole issue of sitting during Havdalah is irrelevant. To sit during Kiddush also, I'll be pashtus to say that you have to sit to be mitzi all the others with the Bar Piyah Goffin doesn't apply today either, because the Gemara says the Ferish, when it comes to Kiddush, even if I already benched, I already said Kiddush, I already finished eating, and someone comes in and doesn't know how to say Kiddush, I can say Kiddush for him. But I'm not drinking along with him. So the Gemara says, Yotzeh Moitzi, not only on the Brach of the Kiddush, even on the Bar Piyah Goffin. So you can't say that you require Dapki Yeshiva. The whole idea of Yeshiva is that a whole Chabura together is drinking wine. So I'm Moitzi them. I'm not drinking the wine at all. I'm only saying the Bracha for you. So for Kiddush, for sure, I can say the bracha to be mitzvah someone else, even if everyone is standing. You don't require that they should be bekvias, be yeshiva. Tosfos holds that Havdalah is different from Kiddush. Tosfos says that Havdalah, you can only be mitzvah the others if they're all sitting. Amatzoi Shabbos, the din requires that we should recite Havdalah twice, once betfilah atachanatono and once alakos. What if a person dab marav, he forgot to say atachanatono? So the Gemara says you don't have to repeat the Shemona Esrei, because you can say Havdalah ala kos later on. What if the fellow forgot Havdalah b'tfilah, forgot to say Atochan Antonu? So we would recommend you should say Baruch Hamav de Mikodesh Lachon. Let's say women who don't daven Ma'ariv HaMetzoy Shabbos. Bala Tanya says they should. Women don't daven Ma'ariv HaMetzoy Shabbos. So before they start turn on the light and start turning on the hot water to wash the dishes, so they should say Havdalah. So they should say Baruch Hamav de Mikodesh Lachon. What happens if a person forgot Atochan Antonu, and he forgot to say Baruch HaMavdol, and then he forgot and he ate before Havdalah? So the Gemara says, one opinion is if by mistake you ate before Kiddush, you ate before Havdalah, you blew it and you lost your opportunity, you can't say Kiddush, you can't say Havdalah. We don't paskin like that. We paskin even Tom, even if by mistake or purpose, whatever, if you ate before Kiddush, you ate before Havdalah, you do say Kiddush, you do say Havdalah. But what happens? Tor bezu bezu. He made a mistake. He left out Atochan Antonu, and then he ate before Havdalah. So then we require he has to daven over the Shemona Esrei. I strained it. So you got to break your head to figure out why it's so. So Rav Soloveitchik dedicated a whole Yotzei Drasha to that topic. What kind of a din is that? Tor bezu bezu. Some Rishonim say that there is no such Gemara, that the Gemara never said. The Mishnah Berurah quotes some Rishonim, but that's the way we pass in the Shulchan Aruch. Tor bezu bezu. It's Chayzal L'Rosh, he has to daven over Ma'ariv. And then the Rashba adds on, not only if he made a mistake and he ate before Havdalah, what if he didn't say Atochan Antoni, he didn't say Baruch HaMav D'Mikodesh L'Chol, and he did a Malacha before he said Havdalah. It's already after Tzeis HaKachavim, but he did a Malacha before he said Havdalah Alakos. So the Rashba says the same did. That's considered Tor B'Zu B'Zu, he has to daven over Ma'ariv again. So that's a strange din. That's a difficult halacha.
What's the connection Ma'ariv with making the mistake?
Right. It's very strange. If you left that Atah Chanan Tonav, that per se doesn't require of you, you have to repeat the Shema Nesse. And if by mistake you ate before Havdalah, or you did a Malacha before Havdalah, you still say Havdalah. So what's wrong if you make both mistakes? Why two strikes and you're out? Why? What kind of Malacha is that? What's the connection? So that's where Rav Soloveitchik broke his head to figure out a whole Yahrzeit Rosh.
So if you did say that Atah Chanan Tonav, and you want to eat that before you make Havdalah, or Havdalah?
No. The Gemara says you're not, even if you set out the Chanantani, you're not allowed to eat or drink. Only water is mutta before Havdalah. Before Kiddush, even water is asa. But before Havdalah, the Gemara says water is mutta, and other foods or beverages are asa. Strictly speaking, let's say you bench Shalushu this time, and you bench Alakos, and strictly speaking, you should be allowed to say Barpi Agafen and drink the cup of wine. So the Mogad Aram says, we don't have that practice. The reason being, because all week long, a lot of times we bench mezuma and we don't bench halakos. So we demonstrate that we don't hold from this halach. We don't observe that. We don't always say brichas hamoz and halakos. So if you would always be makpit to say brichas hamoz and halakos, so then drinking the cup of wine would be considered an extension of the shalashudas. But since all week long we're mezalzal on that, so we demonstrate that it's not really part of the meal, so that's why you shouldn't drink the cup of wine. What happens if you have a Sheva Brachas? By Shalashudas. So Sheva Brachas always, everybody always says Sheva Brachas Alakos. So that's the common practice. If you have a Sheva Brachas by Shalashudas, if the Chasana took place on Sunday, and the last day of Shivas Mishteh Shabbos, then you can only have the Sheva Brachas before the Shkia. Even though the chasana took place 4 o'clock in the afternoon, you don't say 7 days me'es le'es. Rabbi Yitzchak Hanan has a tshuva. He says you go me'es le'es to dili tachnon. If the chasana was 4 o'clock in the afternoon on Sunday, so then you leave at tachnon by shachris and mincha on Sunday morning the next week. But to say sheva brach is only till the end of shkia on Shabbos afternoon. But let's say they got married on Sunday night, so the first day of shivas hamesh is Monday, so you can say sheva brach on mitzvah Shabbos still. So you're going to say Sheva Brachas after Shalashudas. So then the Minig Olam is Sheva Brachas we always say over a cup of wine. So that whenever Mezalzal on that. So that you're allowed to drink. That wine you're allowed to drink. So some insist only the Chosin Kala should drink. Yeah, that Nishgefelach. That's okay. There are many more dinim, but these are the highlights of the dinim of Hadlokas Aneris, what we call Lichbenshin. Hadlokas Aneris and Kiddush and Avdol. Agud Tevach.
The prohibition against eating before Abdullah. Suppose a person doesn't have wine or anything to make Abdullah on. At what point can he take a bite to eat?
Adnash Kembreris. The Gemara says you're allowed. One of the Amoraim bust Tavas. He went to sleep starving because he knew he was going to get wine. He thought he was going to get wine the next day. So we pass again. You're not going to be able to fast. If you don't see, you're gonna get wine.
The minute you say Shabbat till Tuesday, so you can't say you can't eat. They wanted you to not eat, so you'd remember to say Havdalah. It wasn't because.
That's right. Okay.
So how could you be ma'akiv if you didn't eat?
There is one opinion in the Gemara that Torah may not abdil. If you ate before Havdalah, you lose your chance. We don't pass him like that.
So I'm saying so, but then they have a minute that you should go back and say Marv Vera.
That's a din in the Shulchan Aruch, though. You got out the Chanatanu, and you ate before Abdullah, and you got a daven about Mishma Nesra. Why never happened? You do say out the Chanatanu. It doesn't come up.
Okay, so you can't eat before Abdullah.
Somebody might have liked this. They don't have it in the
season. They have Shabbos.
You can eat before Abdullah. You don't because we're afraid you won't make Abdullah.
Okay.
Because obviously they say you can make Abdullah on Tuesday.
You made it that Abdullah.